Well, this is a perfect scenario because I got an email a couple days ago from a guy named Brian Stavely, I think his name is, and he wanted to interview me. And I said that I've had issues with being interviewed on other broadcasts where the audio just seems to disappear from the archives. And needless to say, it would be better if we just did the interview here, and that way I can make sure that at least we have a copy of the interview and have other people be able to listen to it. And then I told him that you were going to be on, so I think he wanted to ask us some questions. So I'm going to – I think Brian is the Massachusetts connection here. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Marcus. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
So the time's yours. What can we – I know that you said in your email that we have like-minded thoughts. And
yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I was really refreshed to, you know, I kind of stumbled across your site just maybe, you know, the day I emailed you, whatever day that was, 3 or 4 days ago or whatever. And, you know, it just kind of, I kind of noticed right away that it seems like we're kind of like-minded in a lot of ways. You know, when I'm looking around for information, I don't know how to put this right. Most of the sites you go to, as you know, they won't talk about certain things. I mean, they won't talk about controlled opposition. They won't talk about, you know, media fakery on 9/11, a lot of issues like that. And I just, you know, I noticed right away on your site that you were pretty much talking about all these things.
Right.
So I just kind of wanted to get in contact with you and just, I don't know, I didn't really, nothing too specific to ask you. I just kind of wanted to, you know, bounce some ideas back and forth and see how you guys, I don't know if you're like on your own or you have like a, you know, a few people that you work with on your site or whatever, or I don't know. I just kind of wanted to see how you guys came into all the, you know, the realization of the whole 9/11 thing being a complete hoax.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an easy one for me. by the way, Masonic Mike is in Boston. And it sounds like he noticed your accent and asked if you're a Southie.
No, but I'm actually, if you're in Boston itself, I'm probably only like 25 minutes from you, but I live in Lowell. Do you know what Lowell is?
Let's see what Mike says in the chat. Yep, he says
he
yep.
Must. I'm yeah. Sure he does. It's not far from here at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's very simple. I've been an absolute fantastic failure at every single thing I've done my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from business to parent to going to college to husband to you know, bankrupt to you name it, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really pisses me off is that I did all the right things. I did all the things that I was indoctrinated to do through education.
Mm-hmm.
Advised to do through my family, and to do all the right things, keep my, you know, nose to the wheelstone, to, you know, look the other way when you're not supposed to see something, to work hard and to dream big, and then to start your own business through the great American dream. So I did all those things, and I was such a failure at all those things that it finally hit me that, you know, maybe it isn't my fault. Maybe, you know, I kept blaming myself. I'm like, you know, this is a little bit more than coincidental that I'm doing all the right things and not being rewarded for it. And I fell for 9/11 hook, line, and sinker. I thought I was going to die in 9/11. I was smack dab in the middle of what happened on 9/11 because I lived at the time in Westchester, Pennsylvania, which was 2.5 hours away south of New York City, about 2.5 hours away east of Washington, D.C., and 3.5 hours away from Shanksville. And I remember the day, although someone has corrected me, it was a beautiful fall day, but I was wrong. It wasn't even a fall day. That's even a lie. It was a summer day. But I remember being incredibly crisp and cool. And it didn't really make sense to me because it seems, as soon as I went outside, after watching hours and hours and hours of programming and mm-hmm. propaganda on TV, I went outside. And it's as if it was a completely different situation. It was calm out. People also were outside, and they were calm, although thinking back, they were also quite concerned. And then I remember going to Wings to Go to get lunch. And the first thing that I remember was across the street from Wings to Go was the local Red Cross shelter. And it was as if they were having a sale because there was a line wrapped around the building at least two or three times with people hanging out there. And I had no idea why that was. And then I later found out it was because we were told to give blood.
Uh-huh.
So a couple years later, I don't know what tipped me off that 9/11 was a fraud, but I did eventually stumble upon something that kind of let me know. I mean, I've always been a sort of strange bird skeptical person all my life. I mean, I knew after Ross Perot dropped out that politics was rigged, and I haven't voted since then. It's been 20-something years since that. So to make the long story short, which is already too late, yeah, I think it was what got me into it was failing. And I think that's the case for most people. A lot of people don't know why they get into this, but I think that's the real reason is it's failure. And they are beyond this idea that it's their fault, and they're looking for, you know, what's the real reason that I'm failing? Why, you know, why is it that I am fighting all the time with my family, getting divorces, all that kind of stuff? And I think that's what it is. Now to answer your other question about if we're doing this alone, I can only speak for myself. I'm assuming that everyone else who I hang out with is doing it alone. I hope that's the case. But yeah, I do everything by myself. These audios that I do, I just pick up the phone and I do it. I used to promote through forums, Godlike Productions specifically, the idea that I do these calls. I no longer do that because I've lost my passion for waking people up. In fact, now I could care less if people wake up. If people want to be slaves all their lives, that's good for me. Mm-hmm. Someone has to make my egg omelet that I had this morning for breakfast. And if we're all awake to the stuff, then there would be no slaves. And whether it's fair or not, that's the position I'm at right now. So if people want to listen, that's absolutely fantastic. One of my goals was to make it so that I would actually go out and have a Long Island iced tea with someone who could talk about this stuff. I'm still waiting for that. I actually did meet two subscribers who listened to this from California who came out, rented a truck, come out and see me. We met at my favorite diner, which was fantastic. But I've yet to have a Long Island iced tea with someone who could talk about this stuff. So that's for me. What about for you, Chris?
I feel like I have to have an outlet where I can talk about my observations and how I, you know, feel about it, what I think about it, because I think otherwise I would kind of go completely nuts. You know, I don't really have any delusions about waking masses of people up or anything like that. I think for the most part, majority of people are content to be ignorant. And,
yeah, that's true, man.
Yeah. They really don't want to know.
Yeah, it gets, you know, I feel like maybe I need a new strategy. See, what I was doing is I was, you know, trying to sit down everybody I could, sit them down for a few hours, show them a bunch of things, try and talk to them. And with a lot of people, it worked. But I think with some people, they just have a switch and they just shut it off. And I think it's probably best to just, you know, after you realize they're just not going to listen at all, maybe just to use your energies on other people, because it gets frustrating. It really does. Some people just have a switch and just turn it off, you know. The other thing that gets frustrating that I wanted to talk to you guys about, well, you know, talk to you about, Marcus, is, you know, realizing that the whole truth movement is a fraud.
Sure.
You know, when I'm still kind of new to this, okay? I only originally what people would call, you know, woke up like a year ago, okay? I stumbled onto Loose Change, which, as we both know by now, is a lot of disinformation.
Sure.
But it was good in the sense that it woke me up and it made me want to, you know, dig into everything. And that's what I did. So after I saw that, besides just 9/11, I started digging into everything. But, you know, and tell me if it feels like this to you. It feels like, you know, when you're listening to the mainstream and you're getting all the propaganda, it's almost like you're in this box. And when you finally break free of that box, this little mental box they have you in, you know, you think you're free and you're getting all this other information, but it's almost like you just stepped into a bigger box, which is the alternative media and people like Alex Jones and, you know, Jason Burmess, Luke Rodowski, all these disinformation artists. it gets frustrating.
Yeah, if you listen back to all the audios I've done since 2008, you'll hear us talk about this a lot. We call it the onion. Truth is like an onion. So just when you peel back the onion and you think you finally have someone that you can trust, then they're even worse than the person before them.
Exactly.
The ultimate, what we always call the ultimate gatekeeper is, you ever hear of a guy by the name of Alan Watt?
Yep, I have, of course.
Well, Alan Watt, to me, is like the last layer of that onion. I don't know anyone who knows as much about this hoax than Alan does.
Uh-huh.
But if you carefully deconstruct his broadcast, which he hardly takes calls anymore. Actually, the last talk he did, he actually had a few callers. I couldn't believe it. If you listen to it, he's roughly half and half. And he's the only person I'll listen to still, even though I know that half the things he's saying is complete and utter scaremongering and garbage. But if you listen to it, it's about half and half, and that's what they do. And it's brilliant. If you think about it, if I were to run the world, I wouldn't change a single thing. I would be hiding behind the scenes. My name would never get out there. I'd pay many, many layers of people to buffer me from the public, and I would do exactly what they're doing. So that's what you've got. You got everything from Walter Cronkite to Keith Olbermann to Alex Jones to David Ray Griffin to Alan Watts and Alan Watt and all in between. And they just go rabbit hole to rabbit hole. You jump from one to the other, and you think you're getting closer, and what you don't realize is you're actually getting further away from the truth.
It's true, but you know what? I feel that for people like me and you, we have like an eye for it a little bit, and you can kind of pick through the disinformation and pull the good information out of it. What was I trying to say? Judy Wood, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, her directed energy weapon theory. Okay,
right.
I didn't buy into it for a minute. Okay,
right.
But even though I felt that I knew 100% that it was totally wrong, I went and I sat through 20 to 30 hours of her presentations. And if I didn't do that, I would have never seen certain evidence that I didn't see from other people. She had some pictures from Ground Zero, and they were from the day of 9/11. And if you look at the pictures, okay, there's no debris. I mean, it's already gone. Now, the story we got from the Truth Movement was that they shipped out all this stuff overnight. Giuliani even comes on TV on 9/12, and one of the first things he addresses is the debris pile and why the debris pile is so small and how they've been shipping it out overnight. And they put this story out there like they destroyed the crime scene. This is the story the Truth community believed. They destroyed the crime scene. They wanted to get rid of all the evidence. They melted down the steel. They built Navy ships out of it. They sent it to China. And I'm looking at this woman's pictures, and I'm like, wait a minute, this stuff's already not here. It's already gone. So, you know, somebody's lying to us here. And she had pictures of all the cars around Ground Zero. And you're looking at the cars, and a lot of the cars don't have license plates on them. And then it kind of stuck in my head that, hold on, wait a minute. Maybe all these people in the Truth Movement are lying to me about shipping all this debris out. So I went back and I started to look at videos. See, there was always one thing, I don't mean to go on and on here, but there was one thing when it comes to the Truth Movement that kind of always stuck in my head. And right after I had saw Loose Change and I saw some other 9/11 things, I saw September Clues, okay? I saw it maybe like two, I'm sure you guys have all seen it. I saw it like 2 months after Loose Change. So I pretty much realized, you know, within a matter of months of waking up that, you know, the second plane was fake. And it always bothered me how people in the alternative media would not talk about it. If you try to talk about the second plane being fake on Alex Jones' show, forget it. The guy goes absolutely nuts and loses it on you. They'll attack your character. They'll try and change the subject. They'll even edit your call out of the call log. So then once I went back, I had seen these videos before, and up to this point I was a big fan. I'll admit it. I was an Alex Jones fan for about a little less than a year because I didn't know, okay? You know, you just wake up and you're not used to hearing any of this information. All of a sudden, you got this guy shouting all these things you never heard, like GMO food and 9/11's an inside job and chemtrails and all these things you never hear. So it's like it's almost a natural thing to trust them. You know what I mean? And they know that, and that's how they get you fooled. And that's what people don't understand. Because I try and tell people about these people in the Truth Movement now, and they're like, no, they wouldn't tell you so much about liberty, and I never heard anybody talk about freedom as much as Alex, and this and that, and what about all this good information? And I'm like, yeah, but listen, if he didn't give you any good information in the beginning, you're never going to trust them on the big stuff. So they have to give you, like, you know, I don't know what the percentage is, but let's say he gives you, you know, 70% facts, but the 30% that's wrong is the big stuff, like 9/11. And what good are these people when their main thing is, you know, 9/11 truth, and I'm the guy that predicted 9/11, even though we know he didn't. But what good are these people when they're supposed to be there for 9/11 truth, and what they're really doing is doing everything they can to hide the truth of 9/11?
Mm-hmm. Man, you sound just like me many years ago.
Yeah.
And I can assure you that even your premonition of what you think about Alex Jones and Judy Wood is dead wrong. For example, Judy Wood, as a person on the chat just said, you're picking and choosing between their pictures. Did you know that Judy, from what I understand, every single picture on Judy Wood's site is taken by one person? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that might be a problem?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Also, how do you know that those pictures are real? Because I've thrown almost all of those pictures into several different, for lack of a better word, picture verifying services that let us know whether there's been photoshopping or not. And every single picture is completely photoshopped.
Wow. Now, I knew that tons of the Ground Zero pictures were photoshopped. I mean, I'm sure you know. I mean, you look through them and there's just tons of it going on. But I didn't know that all hers were. But I pretty much moved on after I pretty much took her as disinformation after I found all that out, and I pretty much moved on, and then I started, you know, finding out about the fake victims and the fake jumpers and, you know, everything else. Mm-hmm. But, no, I didn't know that all her pictures came from one source.
Mm-hmm. And what you should do is do what you did with me. You should, if you want to see if she's real, try emailing her and see what happens. See if you get a response back.
Yeah.
You want to bet she doesn't? And if she does, ask to talk to her. You want to bet she doesn't?
Oh, I know she's not going to.
Right. So I don't trust anyone who doesn't.
Just like the Goldbug guy. I listened to your show on the Dallas Goldbug, and, you know, everything you were saying is conversations I've had with people. And he came on to one of my websites where we do radio shows, and I sent him an email also. And he never got back to me either.
Yeah. There's a reason for that.
You know, a big long email, just say, hey, thanks for coming over, you know. I've seen some of your stuff, blah, 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 blah. Welcome to the thing, yada, yada, yada. Here's my email, you know, contact me, and never heard anything.
Right. There's a reason for that. And that's it all comes down to, well, how life really is, which is control. He cannot control the conversation if you're involved.
Exactly. It's not scripted. Everything has to be scripted with him. If I throw him a curveball, he doesn't want to respond and respond the wrong way.
Right. By the way, I told you about Phil Jahan. Phil Jahan, and Chris can confirm this because Chris was on the call.
Uh-huh.
Chris, how long did we talk for?
Oh, to Phil? Oh, we talked to him a while. I think I talked to him about 4 hours or something like that.
And do you know what he did with that audio?
He never did post it.
He deleted it.
Deleted it, yeah.
What,
no,
he told you guys were supposed to do like an audio interview and then he didn't like what happened in it and he just never posted it?
Yeah, it was 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So,
we're going into all kinds of stuff and it was pretty interesting. And some of the stuff he said was pretty out there. But then, he never did post it on his talk show. He had a talk show channel. He never did post it up there.
Wow.
And when asked about it,
he
kept saying that I was fucking an asshole, I was fucking this, I was fucking that. I was fucking so many things, I got no enjoyment out of it. It was a shame, because I like to fuck. But, so that's what this is all about. We've been had, and I don't, that's why I said to you, I'm not coming on your broadcast, because, you can... Why would I do that and talk to you and then have it deleted? That's the biggest waste of time.
No, I hate you. I hate you, man. Of course. I wouldn't do that either if I were you. But, I have nothing to do with that. But coming from where you are, I understand why you would be a little defensive about it, of course.
Yeah. And I don't care about controlling anything. I mean, you want to ask me if I had sex with my wife last night? The answer is always no. which is another issue. But I'll talk about anything. I'll talk about anything. There's no topic that's taboo.
Yep.
With these guys, I don't know if you heard, but I interviewed Henry McCall. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Do you know who he is?
No, I don't even know who he is, honestly.
Oh, he's a very – he's like a conspiracy rock star.
Okay.
And he was like the Lindsay Lohan of conspiracy talk. He gave me a list of things that I couldn't talk about and how long the interview was going to be. It was really quite funny. But he was the only one who's actually come on, and I don't interview these guys anymore because it's just a waste of time. And he came on and he refused to answer questions. And, you know, why would you refuse to answer questions?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't listen to these guys for the most part. What I do is I surround myself with a very small number of people that have given me no reason not to trust them. Chris is one of them. Mike from the Netherlands, I like Tim, Cave Monk Dave. There's a bunch of others, and I don't want to forget anyone's name, so I'll just leave it at that. So there's a handful of people that I trust. We have a little private forum because we all do these talk shows, and we throw our topics in there, and we kind of pre-talk about it. And if Dutch Cooper Mike says you guys should check out this 3.5-hour video in plain sight, I mean, 3.5 hours, who the hell has time to watch that? But
yeah.
If Mike says to watch that, I trust him. He has not let me down yet, and I'm going to watch that. And some of these, quote, truthers have gold nuggets that they give us, but it's
exactly.
Wrapped in complete bullshit. I can tell you this. People say that Alex Jones gives us 70% truth. That's not true. In fact, I don't even think he gives us 5% truth. I could take almost every single topic from his website. Let's go
no,
right
you're
now.
Right. You're right. You're right. Because, listen, I what I do on my website is I have a bunch of news sources up there. I put alternative in mainstream, and I just let people see all the headlines. So, like, a few days ago, I was going through, and I was just looking at all his headlines and see – people, like, post his stories all over Facebook and stuff like that. And, like, you know, you get so aggravated when you see something from InfoWars, you don't even read it. So what I did is I went back and I looked at his headlines last week, and I tried to source, like, some of the stories from other sites. Like, I just tried Googling them, you know, and they just – every single one went back to Prison Planet or InfoWars, and they weren't even news stories anywhere else.
Yep. I mean, I'm on Prison Planet right now, prisonplanet.com. The first story is Sneaker Mob Goes on Rampage, The Decline of Western Civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jones knows that this is fake. He knows that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Why
he's a fearmonger. That's what he is. He's
right.
A fearmonger.
Right.
Just like RT. You
yep.
know, we all use RT, like RT America, Russia Today, for those that are
yep.
listening that don't know. They're, you know, they're a YouTube channel. They're basically, you know, the news channel that'll basically usually what you think is tell you how it is, but what they really do, and I've noticed this more over the last month or so, and maybe it's just because, like, the last 3 months I've realized about the controlled opposition, but if you go to RT, like, let's say you're talking about the stupid controlled protest, the Occupy thing, okay?
Yep.
They'll show you every video of every cop, you know. And I don't even think the pepper spray is real, honestly. That's a whole different topic. I think that's just colored water. Those people don't gag, nothing. And I've been sprayed before. Those people around there would be having a hard time breathing. But anyways.
Well, not only that, but you have, as Dallas Goldbug correctly says, you would have snot streaming out of your nose, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, you can't cover up with a shirt and expect that to block that. That's like a big stream coming. It looked like a fire extinguisher the way it was coming out.
Yeah.
So I have high doubts that those people were ever pepper sprayed. I think most of the stuff on Dallas Goldbug's thing is wrong, but I do think, you know, when he's talking about some of the protests, he's right about some of the things when he's actually showing, like, you know, the people getting arrested by the Brooklyn Bridge, how it was set up, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with RT is they won't show that. They won't show any of the controlled opposition aspect of anything.
Right.
Because they are controlled opposition themselves. So they won't show you that they think maybe the pepper spray is fake or anything like that, but they'll show you the police beating somebody. They'll show you Luke Radowski getting hit by a cop. Give me a break, dude. That
mm-hmm.
guy's, you know, come on, man. Do people really believe that? Now I go back and I think about videos I used to see, And, like, the one where he's out inside, I think it may be the Goldman Sachs building, and they're like, oh, we're going to say you have a bomb. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Well, there's a video where he's acting like, you know, the cops are trying to set him up and say he has a bomb, like he's a terrorist. And it's just all set up. It's total bogus.
Yeah.
But that, back to what I was saying about R.T., and it made me realize in the last month or so that they're there to fearmonger. They do the same thing. They put some truth. They wrap it around a bunch of crap, and they just put fearmongering, and they won't show you anything that'll show you any and they sure as hell won't talk about, you know, any media involvement on 9/11 or anything like that, but they'll show you as many videos as you want to see about firemen talking about explosions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're up there too, I think, as one of the big media outlets that's just totally controlled. And
mm-hmm.
they fool people. You know, I was fooled for about, you know, the last probably 8 or 9 months. I was fooled until about, you know, 2 or 3 months ago when I realized how much 9/11 was really a hoax and just basically all Hollywood. And then it really made me reassess everything. Everything I'd seen, every video, every person I listened to on the radio or TV, every show that I've seen, it made me reassess everything because I'm like, hold on, these people have been lying to me the whole time.
Yep.
What's the deal with RT anyway? It's... You watch anything on RT, it's always like English, perfect English, and there's nobody with even a Russian accent.
Yeah, that is funny. Russia Today, and that is funny. But you know what I mean, right? They don't show anything from, as we know, there's tons of groups that are controlling different aspects of the protests from, you know, from the UN to, you know, Move On or whoever else, and they won't talk about any of that. But they'll show you the police tear gassing people. They'll show you, you know, the Marine who supposedly got hit with the tear gas in the head. I'm not buying any of that anymore. I'm not. I don't think any people got, you know, assaulted down there. I think that's just all to make you stay in line and know that they will do that if you get out of line.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think it's a mixture of people really getting assaulted and then they're hyping it up, or do you think it's all bogus? I think it's all bogus, so all across. I think they use the millions of people that they have, like Move On and these other groups. They have people on standby for this stuff. They dress them up as protesters and go down there.
Well, I know it's bogus. We've talked about this many times before. If you and it's since been deleted, not because it was deleted on purpose, but because Craigslist deletes their ads, I think, every 2 weeks or every month. But there was smoking gun. I mean, they were paying the Occupy protesters $650 a week.
Yeah.
So do I know that this is bogus? Yeah. I saw it with my own eyes in Craigslist.
Yep.
They were paying. Yes. And I went down to the Occupy protests, and I said, who's paid here? And I had several people run away from me. Not say, what are you talking about? They, like, started walking away from me.
They wanted nothing to do with it. They thought nobody was ever going to ask them that.
Right. Right. So, and as far as, you know, do I think that people are beat up at these sites? I don't like to talk in absolutes, but if I were a betting person, knowing that the media lies about almost everything,
yep.
Yeah, I would say it's all faked.
Good. Right. That's what I thought you guys thought. I mean, because that's the way I see it. I mean, I can't see it any other way now. Especially that, you know, that Lieutenant Pike thing in California, and, you know, with the pepper spray. The people are just sitting there taking it to the face. I've never seen one person take pepper spray to the face like that. Never mind a group of them sitting and lying on the ground, just standing there, and nobody's even coughing. Nobody's eyes are tearing up. I mean, it's just, it's not even believable anymore.
What in footage of the, like, the aftermath, like showing somebody with the snot streaming, just gushing out of their nose and the red face,
yeah,
and all that, wouldn't that be like good video to show how, you know, bad it is and all
that,
but you don't see any of that?
Well, they put that tape in the same drawer where they put the tape of the people streaming out of the World Trade Center on 9/11.
Which was not.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Yeah,
there's not a single frame of footage showing anyone streaming out of the building on 9/11.
None. And that would be the ultimate shot. Wouldn't that be the ultimate shot for any reporter? And for
sure.
People that think there's all this chaos going on, don't give me that, because you've seen reporters out in the middle of battlefields. They'll do anything for that shot. And there would have been thousands of people streaming. Just the right away, the numbers don't even make sense. They tell you there's 50,000 people in there, only 3,000 died. Well, where's the 47,000 people on the sidewalk? Because I don't see them. You know what I mean? I mean, it's totally
bogus. And that's great that you think that way. And... like I said, for the others who don't think that way, that's their problem. I, I've said this last time we talked. I can't possibly care for someone who doesn't even care about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's frustrating, and I know there are people who you love, your family, maybe even your wife, your girlfriend, whomever, and you're just, it just kills you that they don't see what we see. But if they don't love themselves, I can't worry about them. They need to take care of themselves first before they're able to see what we see.
Yeah.
And I know that sucks, and it's sad, and it's depressing, but I'm beyond that. I've been saying now for almost a year, life is really good. When you have one foot coming out of the system and you have your other foot getting out of the system. And that's what I do. I take advantage of the things in their system, and then I stay away from where they want me to go. When they tell me it's a law to take vaccination, that's a lie. That's a total lie. My son was pestered for a year last year. He's a 10-year-old. About having to get this special vaccine for 10-year-olds, and we ignored the phone calls, we ignored the letters. They kept saying that he would not be permitted to go to school. Sure enough, school came along the next year. He went to the first day of school. Several days later, we got a phone call saying, "What's up?" My wife accidentally answered the phone, and she's like, "We don't want him taking the shot." And they're like, "Okay." And she goes, "What do I have to do to make that happen?" They said, "Just write down on a piece of paper that you blah, blah, blah." And it was literally a one-sentence piece of paper that said, "We do not believe in this in vaccinations." And she signed it, and he's still in school.
Well, I'm glad it worked that easy for you.
It's easy for everyone. We listen to Alex Jones, and Alex Jones is wrong. Alex Jones, I mean, look, I'm looking, here we go, so we got the sneaker mob goes on a rampage, anti-Christian violence in Middle East. Well, if you watch did you watch the movie Pallywood, Brian?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you got to watch this. It's the best 17-minute movie you've ever seen in your life.
What's it called again? I'm writing it down right now.
Sure. Pallywood, P as in Paul, A-L-L-Y-W-O-O-D.
Okay. Cool.
And in a nutshell, it shows how 60 Minutes literally staged the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So we think that the Palestinians are fighting the Israelis in that neck of
the Gaza Strip and all that, and it's all just trumped up.
Now, of course, I'll say this, and I'll have people saying, I know for a fact that they're fighting, and it may be true, but all I know is this is smoking gun, indisputable evidence showing that 60 Minutes aired this skirmish that was completely staged. It also showed other stuff. You know how they carried dead people in the streets of Gaza on a gurney?
Yep.
They showed twice how that those were actors. One fell off, jumped back onto the gurney.
It's in that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unbelievable. That's awesome, man.
Right. So we have Alex Jones pushing this violence in the Middle East. That's a lie. Probably a lie, I should say. Announcement of cold shutdown of Fukushima reactors is based on political decision, not science. Well, did you ever hear us talk about that?
Nope.
Oh, you know how they said that there was a tsunami in Japan from that earthquake?
Yeah.
Not true. It's just not true. Chris, the guy you're listening to on the other end right now, he has a Skype directory. Chris, why don't you explain the story? You can explain it better than I can.
I went on Skype and went into the directory. This is before they upgraded or updated Skype. It's harder to do this now, but you could go into the directory. You could go into the search to add contacts, and then like advanced search, you could go into like by country, and then filter it by English speakers in Japan. And then I found this guy, Richard, after I went down through the list and made calls, because most of them, you know, you don't get an answer, or it goes straight to a voicemail or something. So I finally hit on one, and this guy picked up. And so I just started asking questions about, you know, what do you see there? What's going on? He was in Sendai, which is, according to the media and all that, it's like the city that was closest to the epicenter of the earthquake.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the power went down. And I said, well, yeah, it's obviously back up now. I said, yeah, it came back on. It, and him and his girlfriend had went out that night to get, like, curry and beer or something at the convenience store. The convenience store was still open. He said he didn't see any damage or any structural damage, any glass or any debris or anything in the in that town he was in. He said he and if you think about it, that and somebody might say, well, you know, all the damage and everything was on the coast. Well, wouldn't you have like mass evacuations and chaos and people running through the streets, sirens and all that, and
so you're saying they just hit the power out and told everybody it was an earthquake?
Yeah, I don't think there was no earthquake at all, because he was saying he felt the earthquake, and it was pretty pretty big earthquake, and it, he said it scared him, but as far as the damage or leveling the town, nothing like that. No even visible damage or cracks in the street. He said he didn't see anything like that. He said didn't say anything about there being evacuations or people trying to going through the town, getting away from the coastal areas or anything like that. He didn't mention anything about that.
And if you look at the tsunami on the TV, I mean, you can see that it's digitally manipulated. I mean, I was under the impression that the tsunami just wasn't nearly as bad as they say it was, and they, like, enhanced it. Like, you could see it. You could see, like, where they had, like, the waves of the water, like, carrying cars and boats away. It just looked really fake in a lot of instances. So you, what you're saying is that might not have even happened at all?
I personally believe, I might differ with Marcus on this, but I personally believe there was a tsunami, but, right, it wasn't anything like they showed on the television. It was probably more a kind of a real slow moving kind of influx of ocean, you know, the ocean water rising like a rapid high tide where it come in and made a freaking mess. But
yeah, but there was no freaking 100-foot wave or nothing probably.
Yeah, there wasn't no giant wall wave that killed 18,000 people and all that. I don't buy it.
No, I totally believe what you're saying, because even just before you telling me this, when you look at the footage of the tsunami, and they, like, especially let's say on RT again, and they showed, there was one particular one that they showed a lot. I don't know if you guys remember this one, but let me see if I can describe it. There would be almost like a dam, like a wooden dam. The tsunami came rushing over it, and it was carrying a big, huge, huge white boat along with a bunch of cars and trucks. And just the way it looked, it just looked fake. The speed that it was going was insane, the way some of the cars were just moving down the stream. They were moving as fast as, like, these little pieces of wood that were in the water. It was like, I don't know, it just looked really odd. But they lie about everything. I mean, this stuff isn't a surprise to us, but, like, it's almost like, you know, there's the so-called truth community or whatever, and I don't like the labels, but, you know, they say they call it the truth community, but there's only like 10% of us that actually know about all this stuff, and most of the people won't even hear it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, Brian, do you know what happens to cars after about 40 seconds if they're stuck and if they're in water?
They probably sink.
That is correct.
So,
you know what happens?
Would be floating on top of the water, going down, riding the wave like a surfboard.
Right. And do you know what happens? Do you know what happens to buildings if there is a tsunami? Do you think they float?
No, I would assume that they would collapse into pieces.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. They don't pop off their foundations.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris. Say that again.
I was going to say they don't just pop off their foundations and float around on top of the water.
Yeah. No way.
Like a,
no way.
Like a,
it looks so fake.
Right. It's totally
Brian, do you have a Lego store in your neck of the woods?
A Lego store? Yeah, there's one in the mall, probably 20 minutes from here.
Okay. When you have free time, you should go there. And what you want to do is you want to ask them for the special boxes that do what's known as content aware. They'll actually, you hold the box up to a camera, and there's a video monitor behind it.
Yeah.
And what will happen is as you're holding the box, in about 3 seconds, a pop-up, 3D animated vision will show up, So you're in the picture along with the box. You're looking at the box. There's nothing there. But in the monitor, there's a 3D circus going on, taking the pieces that are in the box and putting them into motion. And the reason it's called content aware is because it's intelligent enough. For example, let's say there are cars circling the buildings and there's a helicopter that's floating above. It's content and aware in the sense that it will never touch the building. It will never touch other cars. And if you look at all the videos of this quote-unquote tsunami with the cars floating and the buildings floating, they're using the same technology. The cars never touch each other.
Because if they did, there'd be all sorts of, like, collision problems, like with the graphics and stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's not smart enough to know that there's – for example, you can see, like, without the tsunami stuff added to it, it's smart enough to see curbs. That's why it's content aware. So it stays away from running into the curb.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not smart enough to know that the car in front of them is not a car that they should crash into, but it's a curb. So that's what it is. It's called content-aware and augmented reality. If you look that up on YouTube, there's tons of videos on that.
Yeah, I know what augmented reality is a little bit. I remember they tried pushing it on the cell phones a couple of years ago, like stupid little games you could do with it, and you like kind of walk around and hold the phone in front of you, and you would look through the phone instead of looking just with your eyes, and you would see like holograms in front of things like that are actually in front of you. I don't know. It's kind of weird, but...
Yep. So let's take the next Prison Planet headline here. I'm going right in order.
Yep.
So far he's 3 for 3, just total lies. Number 4, a very scary Christmas and an incredibly frightening New Year.
It's a merry crisis and a happy new year.
Next one, no Christmas for millions of American families this year, so that's all about austerity, which is propaganda. Next, Alex's final thoughts on this Christmas weekend, who the fuck cares? Pundit, here we go, here's another lie. If Ron Paul wins Iowa, we just take it out. Now, if you look into a guy by the name of Vince Russo, have you ever heard of him?
Not the wrestling writer, right? A different Vince Russo?
That is correct. He's the wrestling writer.
Okay, yeah, I know who Vince Russo is. Really good, yeah.
Yeah, and he's also the script writer for Politicians, and he also worked for CNN.
He is?
Yep.
Get out of here!
Yep.
Oh, my God, dude. I didn't know that.
If you look...
My friend will be dying to hear this. Oh, my God. All right.
If you look, I actually did a blog post about this, and you take all of the headlines of Politicians, they all have one thing in common, and what do you think that is? I'll give you a hint. Wrestling.
Yeah, well, the whole game is like wrestling. They don't like each other, and then they're all buddies after and stuff.
Well, it's a little bit more obvious than that. You'll see the headline saying, Ron Paul knocks out, you know, it's always a knockout or a wrestling move, knocks out, you know, Romney in latest debate.
And that's Russo writing that?
Yep.
How many people you say he writes for?
I don't know, but I can't prove this, but I'd bet my entire life savings.
Oh, my God, dude. That's funny because that's good because, you know, you try and tell people how fake it is, and it really is like that. And Vince Russo, the guy that writes some of the stuff's good, but some cheesy stuff, and then he writes these politicians' headlines. Does he write their speeches, too?
I don't know. But guess who – I can't prove it 100%, but guess who he's almost most likely related to?
Ron Paul.
Has the same last name. I'll give you a hint. He put out the movie by Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd called Trading Places. Craig is right, by the way, if you look at the chat.
Oh, I don't have the chat up. I was looking at bring up the headlines you were looking at.
His name is Aaron Russo, the same guy who put out Freedom to Fascism.
I know who he is. All right.
That's most likely his brother.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's not crazy when you think about it. They're all in the club, and we ain't in it, as George Carlin, who was another fraud and fake, would like to say.
It's Russo writes headlines to these politicians. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
stand that guy.
I didn't know who that guy was, but someone actually told me that. Let me see if I can.
He's a piece of work, that guy. If you knew who he was, I mean, like from TV, you would be able to stand him. And he's a big showboat. He like basically he was a writer for wrestling, but he wanted to be a star, and he put himself on camera all the time, and he made the product terrible. This is years back, and people hated him. They hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
here we go.
Funny.
Here's at answers.you Yahoo. Let me pull this up.
Yeah, let me bring our chat. Here we go.
So anyway, this is the sort of things that we discuss.
This is great, man. I'm glad I called in.
We stay away from the mysteries because the mysteries are purposely given to us, and
exactly.
it gets us, you know, running in circles, and we really don't come up with solutions. We like to talk about things. We like to reverse engineer what the real reason is for things, and then we try to come up with solutions that, you know, improve the way we live life. Here, I just posted the Yahoo one, and let's see. What was the major reason why WCW failed, and did Vince Russo actually kill it?
Yeah, well, he did. What he did, dude. You know who David Arquette is, the actor?
Yeah.
He actually took David Arquette, and they wanted to, you know, they wanted to connect with Hollywood a little bit to try and bring more of a mainstream crowd over or whatever, which you can't blame him for, but they actually took David Arquette and made him the heavyweight champion of the world. And people were not happy about it, and it basically killed the company. The company went out of business like a year later.
Vince Russo and many other people at WCW made decisions that caused the company to fail. However, there were also many disputes with Time Warner, CNN, and Ted Turner. So, you know, if you think about it, the news and worldwide wrestling is the same thing.
Oh, it is. And wrestling is what actually got that network off the ground. It helped get CNN going and everything. Yeah, it is all tied in together like that.
Mm-hmm.
They go hand in hand. WCW and CNN went hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Next headline, Gingrich labels Ron Paul's entire support base as people who want to legalize drugs. So this is the old politics is going to save us from the bad politicians nonsense. My recommendation, my solution to this is to say no, don't vote. Let them
exactly.
know we know it's a scam. And then finally,
exactly.
the last headline, which I'll go over, is Congress to fund massive expansion of TSA checkpoints. Well, I don't know if you heard about this, Brian, but do you know how first of all, did you know who the main scaremonger was for the Y2K situation 11 years ago?
It was Alex Jones.
That is correct.
I heard the broadcast. I went back and listened to all the stuff, his old broadcast, his whole show with Bill Kupel where he said he swore at him where he didn't. I listened to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I've heard it. It's ridiculous. He acts like there's actually missiles in the air coming over from Russia.
right. So get this. Did you hear Alex Jones talk about how it was because of the last, in fact, it was last year, in fact, almost exactly, in fact, it was exactly a year ago, 5 hours away, we had the Christmas Eve underwear bomber, right?
Yep.
And what did that give us? What happened as a result of the Christmas Eve underwear
bomber?
Well,
that basically kickstarted the naked body scanners. They were already in a few airports, but that put it into a lot more, and that brought the other TSA procedures in, like the pat down and everything. And honestly, dude, I don't even think that was real. I don't even think there was a Christmas bomber, and they just made that whole thing up, that whole thing with Kurt Haskell, all of that. I don't even think the guy even got on the plane, never mind, had a fake bomb.
That's right. I agree 100% with that. Plus, it was Alex Jones who, once again, who's pushing the story right now. And guess what? The naked body scanner picture that you always see, it's always this hot-looking chick, almost naked, standing through a naked body scanner. Guess who that woman was?
I don't know who.
She was a German nude model who was photoshopped to look like she was going through a naked body scanner. Which tells me that these naked body scanners are in theory and not in reality.
So what do you think happens when you go to the airport? They just act like they didn't put you through it. You just got lucky and you didn't have to go through it, and that's how everybody feels when they go through there?
That's exactly what happened to me when I took my trip to Orlando last November.
Wow. I'm not doubting you.
So
not doubting you at all. And I always go ahead.
So I've read close to a dozen headlines, and not a single one of them is true.
Yep.
Alex Jones doesn't tell us any truth.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, Chris?
And then he goes into the phony. He's pushing the phony, fake political system, too.
Well,
like
that's the thing that makes me mad.
Yeah, like Ron Paul wins Iowa. Oh, I was just saying, like he's talking about the Ron Paul with the Iowa caucuses and all that, primaries or whatever they are. And I was just looking at something yesterday about, I forget what this show is, but the guy's talking about Ron Paul in Iowa. If he finished first in the Iowa polls, and how the pundits are ignoring Ron Paul or saying that's not a big deal, and it's just total, like Marx talks about takeaway strategy or not for you strategy, and it gets people stirred up because if you think about Ron Paul, he's come along at the perfect time to keep people tied into this phony political system, because you know you had the obvious Obama puppet just continuing the same thing that every previous president has done with the agendas. You know, you look at his record, this is right in line with Bush and going on back, and then they bring in Ron Paul to like so people don't say, hey, this is just completely a fraud. They'll bring in this Ron Paul and make it look like he's got some kind of chance to win, and they just absorb people's energies into this phony fake. Yeah, it's a complete staged and completely stage managed circus, and Jones pushes that heavy. You know.
Oh, he does. He does. And the thing is, you know, he has all these people. And I just wrote a blog about Ron Paul just like a week ago. And, you know, I obviously took a lot of heat for it because it was, you know, why I do not support Ron Paul and a lot of the things you just said. And, you know, he gets up there. Alex Jones gets up there and he wants you to, you know, he tells you all these times about how the two-party system is what's wrong with this country and the politics, yada, yada, yada. But now all these people are going to go and endorse the next Republican. It doesn't even make any sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, all the people he endorses, and I don't, you know, I don't buy into the system at all, and I'm just calling it how I see it, but they're all, why is it always the Republicans? Like him, Buchanan, Ron Paul, you know what I mean? And he has connections to, like, the Council for National Policy and all these other ties. It's just, the guy is such a phony. He's such a phony.
Yeah.
The whole Ron Paul thing is distracting a lot of people that could be looking into a lot more constructive things. And that's what makes me mad about it because, you know, there's like, let's just for a number, let's just use a number, 100. Say there's 100 truthers. Well, you know, 90 of them are all putting Ron Paul stuff all over their Facebook page and sending stuff. It's like a Ron Paul campaign. It's like, what are you guys doing? Just a few months ago, you guys were listening to, you know, Alex Jones tell you how they pick presidents at Bilderberg meetings and all this, but now you're buying into the election again. So which one is it? Because I don't, you know, I think it's neither, but.
Right.
But Alex Jones
right.
will tell us about Orwellian doublespeak, yet he does it himself. That's doublespeak.
Yeah.
Oh, he does it all the time. And one of your people in the chat just put it in there that, you know, him and he's always complaining about him being censored, and Google censors him and YouTube censors him, and he censors his own callers. He censors his own people. You know, if you try to talk about certain groups, like, say, the Knights of Malta, you can't even type it in his forum.
Yep.
He'll change the subject if you bring up anything like that, especially the Vatican. You can't talk about the Vatican. And, you know, as you know, they're tied to a lot of things, and it's been mentioned on his forum like once in 10 years. And this is the biggest so-called conspiracy forum or whatever you want to call it, you know, probably in the country. And They never talk about it. And then if you go back and look at anything that talks about any of these groups, like the Jesuits or the Vatican or the Knights of Malta or anything like that, he always closes the comments on them. If you call his show, he'll change the subject, or they'll actually erase your call. If you're listening to the rebroadcast, you'll get your call edited out sometimes. Or if you bring up, you know, his connection to, you know, like the John Birch Society or anything like that, they'll just edit it out. But then they'll want you to feel bad for him when he's supposedly Googling. Google and YouTube aren't censoring him, guys. That's all part of the plan. I mean, you guys
sure.
know that, but anybody that's listening, that's all part of the plan. This whole thing where Ron Paul doesn't get attention by the media and they don't want to talk about him and they skip over him in the results, that's all part of the PSYOP. You have to have somebody for you to believe in. You don't think, just like with RT, when you wake up, they have a news organization waiting for you to suck you back in. You think you're a free thinker now, but really, you're in the next mental box. It's the same thing with the politician. They have a guy for you. They have a guy for everybody else. They got a guy for you to believe in, a guy for you to buy into. And all these people that, you know, swear the whole system was bogus, and now they're going to go vote for a guy that's never once spoken up to them. And I found out something about Ron Paul just the other day, and I don't know, maybe you guys don't think this as big as I do, but I think it's kind of big. He actually emailed his Texas supporters and asked them to actually go and vote for a guy named Lamar Smith. Now, I don't know if you know who Lamar Smith is, but he actually is in support of the Patriot Act, the war in Iraq, and the bailout. Now, doesn't that go against everything that Ron Paul supposedly stands for? Like, his biggest thing is liberty and freedom. How is he going to ask you to go vote for a guy that's for the Patriot Act? Like, I understand that the politicians, they have to play the game, and they have to. But that's the point I'm trying to make. Is this guy is just another politician? I don't know why people want to raise him up and put him up on this pedestal. If he's really for your liberty and freedom, and that's so important to him, how can he go and endorse a guy that's the exact opposite? And then when he was confronted about it, you know what he said? He said, "Well, the reason they did that is because we made a deal that all the incumbents would support each other." That's what he said.
Well, I think it's a total joke. They're just laughing up their sleeve as they do this stuff to people just to see how gullible they are and what they'll do and what they'll put up with. I think it's a complete joke. I mean, politics is absolutely staged and fake. I mean,
yeah.
It's actors. It's just like, you know, just like I think the perfect analogy is pro wrestling. I mean, that's just exactly what it is. It's pro wrestling. I mean, not exactly. They wear suits and all that, but it's pro wrestling. And, you know, this is the idea that, okay, Ron Paul, he wrestled in high school. He's a good wrestler. He knows all these holds. He's got the Greek style of wrestling down. He's a real wrestler. And we're going to put him up against – I'm going to put him in the ring with the Undertaker and on the stage choreographed bull. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all, you know?
I think it's very telling that Alex Jones's family are Masons. I actually have a picture of his grandfather's headstone with full Masonic symbolism on it, with the G and the compass and the square. We've always heard that Ron Paul was a Mason. His wife is Eastern mm-hmm. Star Mason. His daughters are Rainbow Girl Masons. But we don't sit here and listen to what other people say. We actually look more into it. And Chris actually made a series of phone calls and confirmed this.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty easy to do. I just I ran across his blog, and somebody put on there that Ron Paul's wife and daughters were members of the Eastern Star, and they actually provided the number of the lodge, it was the secretary of the lodge, and so I called it, and this lady answered the phone, and she said that she had worked for the Glasgow chapter of the Eastern Star. And I said, you know if Ron Paul's wife and daughters are a member? And she says, oh, yeah. Said they're in they're right now in Lake Jackson in Texas. And where allegedly Ron Paul and his family live. And yeah, that's on my TalkShoe page. You have to kind of go back to the
what, do you
first
do a show
call.
Too?
He does every Monday.
Oh, can you put
every
the link
Monday.
Up so I can get that too?
I'm going to do that right now. I'll put that into the chat.
Thanks.
And then, Marcus, you gave that link to the Eastern Star website.
Yep.
And I put that in the notes of that call. And if you look at that link, it tells you right there that the members of the Eastern Star, one of the requirements is they have to have a husband. They have to be married, and their husband has to be a Mason.
Right.
That's a requirement.
Right.
So if anyone wants to say, oh, yeah, his wife is Eastern Star, but that doesn't mean he's a Mason. Well, no, it absolutely proves that he's a Mason.
Right. Just amazing.
Well, yeah, the only reason I never bring that stuff up is I just, you know, I'm still kind of new to this game, so I don't really know about that much about all these societies. And, you know, if somebody's tied to the Masons, right, I mean, obviously it doesn't automatically make them guilty, but, I mean, how often is it that people that are Masonic have bad intentions, would you say? I mean, I don't really know enough about it, so I'm trying to kind of get a general opinion of it here.
I can answer that one.
Okay.
Masons have many different levels. Most of the levels are lower levels, like the Blue Lodge is the lowest level. Porch Mason, typically black people join as Porch Masons. Eastern Star for women. Rainbow Girls for daughters. Then you've got Knights of Columbus. You have Rotary Club, Chamber of Commerce, B'nai B'rith. Is actually a Freemasonic organization. But of the highest levels that would just shock you is a Shrine Mason, now known as Shriners. So if someone is a Shrine Mason, they know a heck of a lot more about the agenda than anyone below them. And then you have something called the Red Lodge, which is a Royal Lodge. And if they're an A&P Mason, A as in Apple, P as in Paul, mm-hmm. they're really in the know. So to answer your question, most Masons think that they're in for charitable reasons and they're doing good. Most understand that they're in it to help themselves at the same time. Masons do business back and forth with people. In fact, one of the things I forgot to mention at the beginning of this call was that I'm actually on my almost one-year anniversary of a very, very major discovery when it comes to Masons, which is the eclipse. If you were to look, in fact, I'll post it in the chat again. If you were to look at most Masonic-led businesses, they use coding to let other Masons know that they're Mason too, and that code is an eclipse. I have been collecting over the year. In fact, let me get it right now. Wait till you see this, Brian. Okay, I'm going to post this into the chat. Are you still in the chat, Brian?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yep, I'm in there.
If you click on that link right now,
yep,
it'll be a backdoor directory to my index of Eclipse artwork.
Okay, I'm here.
And if you click on any one of those, maybe open in a new tab because there's a ton, see how all the logos have an eclipse of the sun in them?
Yep.
That is code, or the sun itself. Palm trees is another code. That is code to let other Masons know that they're a Masonic organization. So that's how they help each other out. If you're going down the street and you're hungry and you want to get a slice of pizza and you've got two pizza shops and one is a Greek pizzeria with no Masonic coding and the one across the street is an Italian pizza shop with the eclipse in it, you're going to go visit the one with the eclipse because you know they're a fellow brother.
So they always do it, and the people that don't pick up on it won't pick up on it anyway. So
no one will
pick, shot
no one
their
will pick up on that. Nope.
Yeah. I get you. There's a lot of companies here, man.
But this is just I mean, I've got on my hard drive a gazillion more. I just haven't had time to upload it.
Yeah.
when you go down the street, I guarantee you, after this phone call, you'll go down the street looking at business logos.
Yeah, and I'll notice it now.
All over the place. Like, even the Equal, the pack of Equal, and the Splenda, and the Ketchup from Heinz, all that, they all have it.
Wow.
So, to answer your question, I would bet 99% of Freemasons don't know what we know. They think they're going in it for charitable reasons, and that it's going to get them little extra goodies. They might get off a speeding ticket, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're an AMP member, Red Lodge, Shrine Mason, you absolutely know.
All right, and any of these people that we're talking about, if they were to be Masons, they'd be of the higher levels, and they would be in the know.
Right.
More than likely.
Right. Like leaders of industries, like in my industry, I'm in the internet marketing industry. The number one copywriter is a Shrine Mason. In the magic industry, I know Anthony Blake. I couldn't believe it. He told me. He's like, hey, did you ever see my latest picture? And he showed me a picture. He's a Shrine Mason. It all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to join because you want the biggest perks and you want to get in on it, join as a Shrine Mason. I don't know how you do that, but that's what I've got connected over the last year.
Well.
Mm-hmm. So is your head spinning?
Yeah, a little bit. There's a lot there. I don't really know too much about all that, so I'm just trying to learn. So, how long ago would you say, right, personally, you realized that, you know, just about, you know, 95% of the people that are known in the truth movement were controlled? Did it all come to you at once? Was there one thing, like for me, that kind of set it off, or was it just a collection of talking to people and realizing that they were just full of BS?
It was Alan Watt who tipped me off on that, and I learned that in about 2008.
Uh-huh.
Now, I would recommend listening to any pre-2008 talks that Alan Watt gives, because
okay.
Anything after 2008 is a complete waste of time.
Okay.
But his talks with Jackie Petru, probably saved me 10 years of this right off the bat.
Really?
Yeah. And there's no doubt in my mind that Alan Watt is a very high-level Mason. The stuff he knows, only Masons would know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he was able to discover that on his own. No way. Not buying that for a second.
He said he was reading books when he was reading college-level books when he was like 4 years old in the library.
Right.
That's his backstory.
Right.
Yeah.
So when other kids were out, you know, just getting potty trained, he was at the library studying up on all this stuff.
By the way, here's another, if you go back to my truthin7minutes.com/artwork/sun and replace the word sun in the URL with A Jason, capital A, capital J, A-Y-S-O-N.
Yep.
Nothing found. Let me find it.
Yeah, that didn't work for me either.
Here, I'll post it into the chat. Don't tell me they took it down. That would be I have backup copies. Okay, here we go. I'll post it into the chat. Take a look at this. Have you ever heard of the term AJSON?
No, I haven't.
All right.
I don't think so.
All right, click on the first link, which is Alan Watt, and take a look at his hands. Let me know when you see it.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for it to load up. It's taking a second. It wouldn't load the page. Let me try again. All right, I'm here now. All right, I'm looking at his hands.
All right, now close it and click on the next one. Armin Morin. See his hands?
Yep.
And keep going and see if you see a pattern with the hands.
Yeah, they're. Well, I already do. I mean, they're holding it in that little, you know, almost like a tent shape with their fingers.
Right. It's what you do is you make a pyramid, and then you flip your wrist around so that the pyramid goes down, which is a very uncomfortable move. That's also code to let other Masons know that you're a Mason. That's called the Ajason.
So obviously they all do it when they're in front of camera. To let everybody
exactly.
Know.
If you watch, like, House Hunters or any cooking show or anything where they do, like, these challenges and they'll make over your house and stuff, they'll flash. That's the Masons are the ones who get the $20,000 makeover. And what you'll do is every episode, it's like we all watch it and we all laugh all at the same time when they do it. We're like, there it is. That's their payoff. They're just showing that they're in on the scam. And they throw the Ajason.
That's crazy, huh?
It's not crazy. It actually makes sense. I have my family, we have a particular dislike for a particular type of grouped people. I'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
And we have a little code, a little one-word type of thing that we use to describe them that no one would know.
Yep.
Only my sons and my wife. So it's not really crazy. It's just a way in plain sight, hidden in plain sight, on how we communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we all do. I bet you guys have a little code with your family, too, about something that only you guys know.
Yeah, probably. I can't think of it right now, but probably.
Yeah. I know Jews have a code for black people. They call them shfugis. Seriously, that's what they call black people, shfugis. I know that because I lived in a Jewish family.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, well, of course not, because you're probably not Jewish.
What about your buddy here in the chat? What was it that made you realize that, you know, all these people that were supposedly giving us this new information were basically, you know, just whitewashing everything?
Is that a question for Chris?
Yeah, for Chris. I'm sorry, Chris. I forgot your name.
I don't know. I always, like, for a while, I mean, I've been listening to so-called Patriot Radio for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work nights, and I would listen to, I think I started out listening to, like, Art Bell. Like years ago, I think in 90, I think I started listening in like 97 or 98 or something like that. And it was funny because he wasn't even talking about UFOs and stuff like that. It'd be mainly like kind of political talk and stuff like that. And then I think he had Jeff Rentz on his program. So I started listening to Jeff Rentz from what I understand, like his position, he's probably like kind of the old CIA limited hangout, controlled opposition type. But he would have different people on his program and stuff, and then he kind of spins you off into the UFO thing and all that, which is like a big part of the agenda, from what I gather, is like getting people to believe that there's UFOs, alien visitors, and they're somehow working with the government and all that, but...
Yeah, that whole exopolitics and all that crap.
Right, yeah, exopolitics and Zachariah Sitchin and stuff like that. But, I would listen to Jeff Rentz quite a bit, and then, of course, I was... And back then, I was, like, reading different conspiracy books and stuff, you know, just out of, you know, trying to look at a lot of the stuff, because I always just knew something was wrong with the society and the politics and all that, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it or whatever, but I was just looking for different answers. And then, like, Jeff Rentz had Alex Jones on talking about Bohemian Grove, and when I first heard Now, when I first heard him, he was, I thought he was a total whack job. I mean, which he is, but I mean, I thought that, you know, okay, this guy pulled some stills off some old movie about Satan worship or something and stuck it on a site, and he's totally crazy. And then, but I kind of looked into that, and then I kind of got into the Alex Jones thing for a while. And then I was listening to the network he was on, you know, the day 9/11 happened. But I knew that Oklahoma City was, there was definitely something wrong there.
Yep.
And that sort of thing then. And so, yeah, I was on the Alex Jones kick for a while. But then, you know, when 9/11 happened and the way his whole show went down, his broadcast, it was just so many things that didn't quite set well with me. Mm-hmm. And I think from that day forward, I was like highly suspect of Alex Jones, and I was, but I would still listen because there was just, I didn't know of any other sources or anything that was talking about vaccines and all this stuff. Yeah. So I would just keep listening. And then, for years after that, I mean, I would listen to regularly, and, to the point where I would like, I noticed like the fear mongering and stuff was really affecting me. You know, I was like, I would get real like uptight and stuff sometimes, mm-hmm. and get paranoid. And then you know, I saw September Clues, and then I kind of got, and then it kind of really just gave me some, I guess, ammunition or whatever, just to really kind of break away from the Alex Jones and come and become aware that, yeah, there's a whole another bigger picture beyond this, and that we're being, this is the information that's being withheld, and this is like how the gatekeeping works and all that, and coming to an awareness of that. But yeah, I guess I'm a slow learner, because I hear a lot of guys like Tim and Mike from Netherlands, and they're talking about how quickly, and like you, how quickly you became aware that Alex Jones was a fraud and all that, and it was kind of a slow learning process for me. But then, you know, when I started listening to stuff, you know, years back, there wasn't a lot of stuff out there at all.
That's the thing. I try and tell people that, like, people are like, oh, you know, it's really quick, you know, that you only woke up a year ago, and now, you know, within a few months, you know these people are frauds. But you people got to remember, when you guys were doing this over all this year, you guys laid all the groundwork, you know what I mean? When I came onto the scene a year ago, I mean, the stuff about the buildings being empty and stuff, I mean, it's already out there. You just got to find it, you know?
Right.
You're not waiting for that information to come out, and that's why, you know, it probably took other people longer, just because you guys were in it from the start, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's like it was like a whole, probably a different process that I went through than what a lot of you guys went through. Because, I believe too that like as far as 9/11 and a lot of this stuff, like the information is on out there in the wild, so to speak. Everything
you gotta know what you're looking for, though.
Right, yeah, but you have to know, yeah, what you're looking for, and kind of use critical thinking and try to think, like as far as like 9/11, like, well, I think it's important, the methodology they use and everything, as far as it allows you to understand that it's perception management.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key word is perception management, and how all this stuff works is perception management. It's now, would they kill people to get an agenda across? Well, sure, but why would they do it if they don't need to?
Right, they don't need to.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Exactly.
And,
that's what I tell people. You know, is it really crazy that they did this? What's crazier, that they killed 3,000 people, and a lot of them that were actually their personal friends, like Silverstein's buddies and stuff, or that they faked it and got through the same agenda? It'd be crazier
right.
if they actually killed the people. The idea that the buildings were empty and everything, that's not the crazy idea.
No, it's not crazy at all. It's just, it's you know, you're dealing with a completely controlled environment. It's like pulling off a parlor trick in your living room. They have the media, and they have all the the so-called officials down at the ground zero,
cordoning
off the area. Yeah, everything.
There was no independent photography or anything like that. Everybody was under the management.
Right, and you know, it. You know, you could say, well, how could they prevent people from getting actual photographs? I think it was no problem at all.
That's easy. Whether it's an EMP or just shutting down networks through the companies or whatever, you know. Plus, they I don't know what your guys' opinions are, but they had those blocks. I mean, the blocks and blocks away from the buildings were probably blocked off. I mean, people were not close to the building taking those shots that you see. Those are all manipulated shots done in front of blue screens and everything else. The people that was like right under the towers looking up, taking pictures, that wasn't real.
I'm assuming with what you just said that you didn't hear my original 9/11 talk that I did?
No, I probably didn't. What did I miss?
Just through serendipity, just by chance, I was a month before launching my Truth in 7 Minutes site.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled upon a woman screaming about Michael Jordan in my local park in Lancaster. Now I'm in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally finishing my notes to record the 9/11 chat. And I said, what are you screaming about, you know, Michael Jordan? She's like, he's a sellout. And I'm like, oh, what does that mean? She's like, well, he says that he doesn't sell sneakers to poor people, but that's all he does. Ironic, because we talked about, I opened up today about the Jordan sneakers. And then we started talking. I said, well, if you're awake about that, you're right on. I said, you should take a look what I'm writing. She's like, what are you writing about? I said, oh, I'm talking about how 9/11 was a fraud. And normally, you know, back in 2008, people would run away from me when I talked about that. Not so much anymore. And she's like, oh, well, do tell. And I said, and then I went into it and how there were probably no one who died. And there's, you know, a New York Times article and a USA Today article that said that there was a drill pre-planned for that day. She goes, see that girl down the way?
Oh, I did hear this. And she said her daughter or something went there and the fire drill turned her away, right?
Right.
Yeah, I did listen to your show. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about an older 9/11 show. I did listen to this one.
Mm-hmm. So that sealed the deal for me. That was confirmation to me that the entire place was cordoned off. I don't buy that the towers were completely empty stuff. I do believe that people did work in there. I do believe they were told well ahead of time that there was going to be a drill that day. And the reason why you don't hear these people coming out and saying that is because they have no way of letting people know about this. I mean, through the Delphi technique. You should really look into the Delphi technique. The Delphi technique is basically, was invented by the Rand Corporation back in the 60s or 70s that used consensus building to prevent truth from coming out. You see this all the time online. You'll see someone, maybe at Phil Jahan's forum, who will say X, and then within minutes, I'm not talking a day away or even hours away, but within minutes you'll find 10 other seemingly different people coming in and saying, no, there were people in the buildings that day and here's the proof. Oh, and how dare you say that? My cousin was in the building and died that day, you pig. You know, you see all these different people posting. What that is that's called sock puppet accounts. And there's actually software put out by H.B. Gary. You should look into that, H.B. Gary, that has a 500-node software package, meaning that in one click of a button, they can create 500 different personalities on a forum in a click of a button. And that's what the Delphi technique does, is it uses consensus building to thwart people who have real truth. So that's probably why we don't hear anyone who survived 9/11 coming out and saying, hey, I survived 9/11 and this is a lie, because they have nowhere to tell that truth.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, I've been doing this since 2008, and right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have about 20 people on the call. 20 people? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So that's how it's done. And that's how you know if someone's real, by the way. If they have more than 20 people listening to them, they're probably not real. Just 20. You got someone who has 10,000 YouTube views in one day? probably not a real person.
Yeah, you see that really...
Man, because it's hard. I mean, I have a hard time getting more than like 10 people listening to my shows, you know?
Right.
And then I do a show every day, and it's just like, you know, sometimes I have 4 or 5 people in there. They listen to the archives more, but, you know, it's there's never, you know, 75 people or 300 people like you would win. No, it's not like that.
Yet when Dallas Goldbug comes rushing to the scene,
and his channel shot up out of nowhere.
Thousands, right.
Mm-hmm. I was telling somebody that just a few days ago. I was telling my buddy actually yesterday. I was talking about Dallas Goldbug, and I was telling him, you know, when I got into this like a year ago, this guy wasn't even around. As far as I know, I mean... I just might not have ran into him or seen any of his stuff, but I didn't see any of his stuff for like 6 months. Then all of a sudden, it's almost like they gave him that Gifford thing to, you know, to give him credibility out here.
Yep.
And then he throws everything else out there, and he tries to get you to jump off the cliff with him, that this person, that person, and this person. And it's just, it's too much speculative stuff. I mean, you know, we want to deal with absolutes, and we don't want to, you know, if we deal with 90% absolutes and maybe 10% of, oh, this person is that person, you know, that's okay. But when all your work is based off that, you're going to have a hard time convincing anybody of anything.
Well, we all joke about him. We call his nickname to us is 100% match,
yeah.
Even though it's not.
It's a perfect match, and it doesn't even look like it.
Right.
Perfect match. I'm like, this guy, you know. I feel like he had a couple of things up there, like I said, with a couple of things with the protest and the Giffords thing. But I feel like a lot of that stuff is just, like he says, Ryan Dunn is this guy, Jesse Lagaca is the protest. And like, why would they take an MTV personality that everybody knows his face and put him in the protest when they could use just a random actor? You know what I mean? It wouldn't even make any sense.
Now, it's interesting that you bring up Ryan Dunn. And I think it was Chris who passed this on to me, because did you know that Ryan Dunn has a movie that is based on what supposedly really happened in his death? Chris, you can explain it better than me.
Oh, there's this movie that Ryan Dunn was starring in, and I guess he wrote the script for it and all that, and it's I can't think of the name of it, but you could probably look up in Google, like Ryan Dunn
movie.
And then it has a website and everything, and it's about it's like a movie about this guy dies and comes back as a ghost, and then like he helps his buddy how to get women and all this silly crap. But
it's called Living. If you go to livingwillmovie.com, basically it's a movie how you get girls by faking your death.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And
I don't think Ryan Dunn's dead at all. I don't buy that for a second.
Do you think this is all like a publicity stunt for the movie, though? What you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you watch it, by the way, I used to live at college where these guys lived, the Jackass people. They lived literally down the street from me. And they were fucking crazy, man. They would always go to this Wings to Go place, and I wouldn't go there anymore because I didn't want to get punked by them. Seriously, these guys are crazy. And if you look at the video, first, we actually did a whole broadcast about this. If you look at the video of where his car supposedly crashed in trees, it didn't hit the guardrail. It flew over the guardrail magically. Missed the trees, and then if you watch the video carefully from NBC 10, which is the big news station out here, that you can see them pretending to cry and then looking at the camera and almost laughing, every one of them, as if they knew the scam.
Wow. So, but if that's really, you know, if that's really a publicity stunt, that's not going to go over well when he comes back out, man. People aren't going to be happy about that.
Well, who says he's going to come back out?
Oh, so he's just going to stay in hiding, and because he's dead, everybody's going to freaking buy a movie ticket, and he's going to make a crap load of money, and he's just going to live somewhere else?
In the marketing business, we always say that you're worth more dead than alive.
Yep.
But watch this trailer. Click on Enter the Site and watch the trailer, and this is exactly the way Wag the Dog the movie was. Wag the Dog the movie came out exactly 30 days before Bill Clinton bombed an aspirin factory, which was basically scripted in that movie.
Wow.
But this is a movie how he basically is going to get girls by faking his death.
And there was, like, if you read the about the movie, it was the release was delayed, and then it was due to come out the year he died, like right after. It just so happens that it was released, or it was due to be released, like right after he died, allegedly died. Just the timing of it and everything is just a little too coincidental. But yeah, his car goes off the road. It goes like a football field length into the woods without hitting a tree.
Like that Danish guy that said, yeah, controlled demolition, the 9/11 guy that supposedly died in the car accident. You know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Oh,
trying to think of his name right now. He was the guy in Loose Change. And they show him the footage of Tower 7, and he says it in Danish or something, though, and he says, oh, that was on 9/11, you're sure? And he said, yeah. And he said, oh, yeah, that's definitely controlled demolition. And the guy said, for sure? He said, for sure, definitely controlled demolition. And they're trying to make it look like, you know how they got this little thing where they're trying to make it look like the 9/11 witnesses are being killed off, but they're acting like
right.
it's suicides and all this?
Right.
He's one of those guys. Danny Jawenko, that's his name. Danny Jawenko, they did the same thing. If you look at his car scene, it's totally staged. This happened like probably 2 months ago. They tried to make it look like he's another, you know, credible 9/11 person or whatever that got killed off, and they made it look like a car accident. But in reality, the guy, the whole scene, it looks totally fabricated. It's just like the way you're telling me about the Ryan Dunn scene. It's like, it's so many similarities. If you guys look at it, you'll see that it's just total fraud.
And
you
this
know,
is
like,
why... This is why I don't look at 9/11 stuff really anymore. The only time that I do is if, again, someone in our little private forum, you know, says, you got to see this, then I'll do it. But on my own, I'm done with it. I've been saying the same thing now for like 2 years. On 9/11, steel and concrete, on TV, I don't think this happened, by the way, but on TV, dustified in midair.
No, it didn't. That's exactly what my thing is, too. I don't think that happened. And that's like one of the things Judy Wood was showing you. She's showing you that beam that disintegrates and goes up into the air. And I'm like, wow, you know, that is just like what she said. And it piqued my interest for a little bit. But then once I found out that everything was all special effects, that's what you see in there. That's a special effect. That's why it dustified. You're
right.
looking at a special
right.
effect on TV.
Right. But I'm going to go with what they told us. If you go with what they told us, that could not have happened because steel and concrete dustified midair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do not believe that, but that's what they're telling us. So for me, I don't need to know exactly what happened on 9/11. I guess from a curiosity standpoint, it would be interesting to know. I just know what the effects were of 9/11. I know that on 9/11, I can't visit my wife, who's a first grade school teacher, because 9/11 made it so that even a husband can't come to school anymore. I know when I go travel, I have to take my shoes off, and I have to stand through a 2.5-hour line just to get through because of 9/11. And on and on and on it goes. I can't even go to a restaurant in an airport because of 9/11 because it's on the other side of the TSA checkpoints.
Yeah, you can't even cash a check at some banks without giving a fingerprint now.
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, Bank of America, I think it is. A couple of my friends tried to cash a check from their business the other day, and they actually have accounts at the bank just at a different branch, and they wanted a thumbprint to cash a check.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, if everyone knew that 9/11 was a lie, do you think they would repeal everything they've put into action and make it so we're free again? Not a chance in snowball.
No, no, but hopefully it would get enough momentum where a few things could get done, you know?
Like what?
I don't know.
Some
of the police state things that have gone on, that because we're all living in fear and like the things at the airport or, you know, stuff like that. I think they could roll it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. If you know what we know, at the risk of sounding arrogant, it doesn't matter what they do, really.
Yeah, because it's irrelevant, because it's all fake.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Alan Watts right. He's like, why would you want something that you really never had? I mean, what are you going to go back to?
Yeah. Or like Alex Jones said, we got to restore the republic.
Mm-hmm.
And we never had it.
That's the goal there. That truth, so-called truth movement, is to restore the republic. So bring us back to a so-called constitutional form of government. It's like, you could go back as far back as you want in American history, I believe, and see police brutality and just railroading people in courts and all that other stuff. I don't think that any of that stuff, like he talks about and goes into, is necessarily new or something that's hasn't been part of this so-called country for since its inception. I don't think, but then now it's the time to use that to stir up people, get their emotions stirred up, and to get them to think, oh, this is all happening to us now. And because if you think about it, okay, just like the population of the U.S. is what they call us is 300 million, and then you got like China, which is supposed to be one of the most tyrannical dictatorships. It's like a billion people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there's no way possible to control that many people. There's no way. And I think probably the more population you have, like in China, you have pockets in different areas of where people are completely unharassed. They're just too remote or too isolated from the system, can't reach out and touch them as much, so they enjoy more freedom and more. And I think that's in anywhere you go in the world, but in the cities and where people can be a lot of propaganda could be put on them and stuff like that, and then you can really control their perceptions and all that, because that's just the idea that this small handful of people can have that much control and sway over mass populations that's another lie. It's just not true, and it's not going on to the extent we're led to believe, because it's impossible. But they can create this perception that, like, yeah, if you go out, there's a good chance you're gonna get the crap beat out of you by a cop, or they're gonna pepper spray you for no reason, or he's gonna. And so, what does that do? It just creates this climate of fear, and you want
to get you to go
really
into their control. You beg for their control.
Yeah. Right. And that's, I think that's the way this all works, and it's perception management. And you think, well, everybody out there is crazy. They're running into the stores trying to get $180 sneakers, and school shootings are going on all the time. There's anytime some child could snap and shoot up a bunch of people in a school, and it's just too crazy to let your kids go out and play because there's all these pedophile child predators out there, and it's just all fear-mongering and fear-based mind control, and that's it. But then, if you were to just stay inside and listen to alternative press, Alex Jones, Alan Watt, and all that, you'd expect after a while to go out, to set foot outside, to see, fires and people running wild through the street and dead bodies laying around. But that's not, you walk outside and, hey, everything's pretty calm. There's nothing going on. But you just get this perception that all this stuff the world is completely falling apart, and we're all doomed, and it's just any day now there's going to be martial law, and we're going to be herded into camps. That's how this stuff works. It's just like, it's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you get a critical mass of people that are thinking that way, something probably is going to happen bad. But, it's a part of the process, and it's all, like you say, Marcus, the government is control of the mind, mental, and govern, control, mind. That's what they do. That's what they're experts at, psychology, manipulation. And,
yeah, controlling the masses. They've been doing it for thousands of years.
Probably.
Yeah, and then once you understand that, like the Columbine shooting and all that, it was completely staged. It's actors, and you know, you didn't even see any blood. They didn't even bother to use that in the Gifford shooting or the Columbine shooting, the fake stage blood, because it was like drills. I think Dallas Goldbug got that right. One of the things he's got right, one of the nuggets he puts out there. But,
that's what gets him the attention, but that's why people, you know, that's what gives him his credibility, even though it doesn't with me, but that's what gives him his credibility with a lot of people. They think, oh, well, he wouldn't have ever had this if he wasn't on the up and up. All this other stuff must be right. These must be matches. And then when they go and try and tell somebody something, let's say they try and tell somebody something that they consider important, like, say, 9/11 or something else, and then they start to mention Dallas Goldbug, and you know, they're talking about this being a match and that being a match, and almost discredits their other stuff. At least in some people's eyes it does. That's how people think, you know?
Yeah, and I think, too, is like it goes back to the – I think this kind of psyop, the test run for it was this the Harley guy. You familiar with the kind of controversy that was around that?
The Mark Humphrey thing?
Yep.
Yeah, the Mark Humphrey, which was totally not Mark Humphrey. If you can locate the full video, the reporter on the street introduces the guy he's interviewing as Mark Walsh, which he's some sort of like low grade.
He's a Fox guy from around here.
Yeah, he's a
he's from Fox Boston, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. And then, like, he introduces himself. Here's a freelance reporter or journalist or whatever for Fox, Mark Walsh. Mark, what did you see? And he goes into the whole scripted. And then
he had a press hat hanging on his neck.
Yeah. He's totally in the press already and everything. But, you know, there was this Ozzy Ben Oswald guy that started that whole thing off with him being Mark Humphrey, and so here's this misidentified perp, and then, like, from what I understand, there was, like, people that were harassing this Mark Humphrey guy, calling him, hey, you're the guy that's at 9/11, on 9/11, reading off a script, you know, you're an
he's
actor.
Supposedly threatened to sue.
Yeah, and then we're on to you, and, you know, we know what you're doing. And this Dallas Goldbug guy, like, suggests you do the same thing. Like, you call these people up and start harassing them. And, like, based on an ear comparison from a low-res screen capture of a video and then some other shoddy JPEG compressed pic where he's telling you it's 100% match. Now, they don't look alike because, I mean, you see that they're exactly the same ear, though, because one is at a different angle, and that's why it looks different. And, like, no, it's like this guy is totally, I guess the correct term would be poisoning the well.
Right.
But I think a lot of this stuff works is, like, they'll throw this out there, like the fact that, these are actors, but they want to give you the impression that, oh, actors, so Hollywood, and, well, not necessarily Hollywood. I mean, a lot of these personalities and celebrities that are put out there that you're given the impression that they're real and genuine are actors. Your politicians are actors and all that. Just like we went into before about, like, a lot of these different comedians and stuff. Like, they have this totally different persona than what their real persona is. What we're talking about.
Well, I don't know if you heard about this, Brian, but like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah. What about him?
Larry the Cable. You know, he. It's a persona that he talks all slow and get her done like that.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, the comedian. Yeah.
If you look at his just from a few years ago, if you watch him, I forget his real name. It's a night and day person. He talks real fast and he's straight. You can understand everything he says. He dresses all sharp and stuff. These are made up personas. Same thing with Ron White. Ron White is a made up persona with the cigar smoking and the whiskey. all these people are they're actors, literally, under the guise of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they're not supposed to be acting, they're acting. You know, when they're trying to create the perception that they're being genuine, they're acting. They're actually acting. And that's I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. That when they, what they see on a one of these late night talk show interviews or whatever, like where the guy's sitting there, they're talking to him. He's like, he's talking in this persona voice.
Perfect example is Gilbert Gottfried. You know who that is?
Oh yeah, he used to do the Saturday Night Up All Night on USA. Wicked annoying voice.
But that's not his real voice.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, if you YouTube Gilbert Gottfried real voice, you will not believe what he really sounds like in real life. Here's one for Lady Gaga. I'll post this into the chat. This is what Lady Gaga is in real life. It's a completely manufactured, made-over B actress, really, who can play piano. Take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at that video.
The second link or the first?
The one I posted.
Okay, two links popped up. Hold on. I think I clicked the wrong one. Okay.
She was on a, and this is another fraud. A lot of people think that they just get, like, on these boiling point shows on TV. The premise behind it is that let's see how long we can fuck with someone and see until they have a breaking point. And if they last a certain amount of minutes, they
win a couple hundred bucks.
This
is obviously staged.
Well, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think these are people off the street who are, you know, frustrated. But there it is, that woman in the one with the dark hair, that's Lady Gaga, and she was...
Oh, it is?
Yeah. See? You're falling for the same thing. And I'm not saying falling, that's the wrong word. You're surprised, just like everyone else as I show this to. And she was just a student at New York. You'll find that most people who are on TV go to New York University. That's the recruitment center.
Mm-hmm.
They're actors at New York University. That scary-looking guy on A&E, you know... who interviews all these actors. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, not really. I don't watch too much A&E.
Oh, good. Well, Chris, he interviews all these famous people. Well, it's New York University. It's the film students at New York University. These are the off-the-street, quote-unquote, people that MTV has on their broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
This is all a lie.
So which one's Lady Gaga, the waitress or the one sitting down?
The one sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
She's just, doesn't look that good,
mm-hmm.
doesn't sound that good. She plays pretty good piano. I've seen very old footage of her playing piano. She's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be very good with some training.
Yeah.
You also see it like in the – you ever see those Comedy Central roasts?
Yeah, oh, yeah, all the time.
They're pretty funny. And if you want to know who the next star is going to be, watch the audience. They'll always put them in the front row. This is called predictive programming. And sure enough, when you look at all the roasts, you'll see, wow, that new comedian who's on the roast panel this year was in the audience in the front row last year, and he was completely unknown. You know that guy, The Situation, who's on the Jersey, whatever?
Yeah, because I've seen them making fun of him on the roast. That's the only reason I know who he is. They're all
right.
Booing him, I remember. He tried to make jokes, and he was terrible.
Right. That's all on purpose, by the way. He was in the audience in the front row of the last roast, and every time, because I've looked through them, that's what they do. It's predictive program. They get you used to seeing this person. Then when they bring them on, it's like, wow, okay, I've seen them before.
Yep, and I get you. They just kind of planted in you subliminally because you see them in the audience, but
yeah.
I get you.
Yeah. All right, Inside the Actor Studio. Thank you, Tim. That's who I was thinking of. Inside the Actor Studio. Now, if you think about culture creation, and I've always known that something was wrong with this since I was a teenager. I'm like, why is Britney Spears worth $100 million?
Mm-hmm.
She, if you've ever heard Britney Spears not using that software called AutoTune.
Yeah, she's awful. I've heard it.
Completely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she worth $100 million? Well, it's because she's in the club and you're not. I know dozens of chicks that are way hotter looking than her, can sing way better than her, that will never be like her because they're not in the club. This isn't about talent. It's about being in the club. If you look through the magazine covers of Cosmo and all the rest of it, there are very few truly beautiful looking women. You know that. Yet, the truly beautiful one who works at the convenience store will never make it.
No.
Because she's not in the club.
It's like, it's almost like the world is their whole little stage, it's their whole little playground. You know what I mean? They're just having a blast. They're just screwing with everybody's emotions, and they don't care.
I'm reading what Tim just said. Until she blows, she will. Well, I don't even think that's true, by the way. I think you have to be a Mason to be considered, or a Jesuit. By the way, there are three movies that I recommend you watch. Pallywood, which is 17 minutes. Wag the Dog, which you have to rent. And you have to watch The Truman Show.
Yeah, I heard. People were telling me I have to see that.
Because The Truman Show is kind of an inverse of how life really is. In The Truman Show, if you haven't seen it, Jim Carrey, who, by the way, always has a role that is associated with the moon every time. Jim Carrey goes through life not knowing that every single second of his life is being filmed for a reality live TV show, and everyone is in on the scam except him, including his mom, I think, or who, a girlfriend, I think it was, all of his friends. Everyone is in on the scam. And he, just like when you asked me when did it hit me, it hits him too. And then he starts to figure it out, and he's like, watch, you know, he's saying this to his girlfriend, I think, watch, you know, that guy's going to go cut in front of us, and then this is going to happen, and sure enough, it happens. But then she's like, oh, no, you're just being ridiculous. And then the best part of the movie is when the rain shower, he was sitting on a beach, I think it was, and there was a little spot of rain just raining on him, but not his girlfriend. And then he moved over, and then the person who was in charge of the rain was a little bit delayed, and then finally moved the rain over him, and then it was like really catching on for him. We are living through a Truman Show, but it's the inverse. Instead of everyone being in on it, hardly anyone knows about what's going on. Only a handful of people know truly what's going on.
Doesn't it feel a little relieving now, though, to be knowing what's going on?
I am so happy I can't tell you. I live in a house with a woman whose name I'm not supposed to say on this broadcast, but I sleep with her. And she still doesn't get it, and she still stresses out about things. She's still locked. I don't lock my door. I'm going to go away this week, once again, to my Tim. Going to be in your neck of the woods, but I'm going to be going past you, Tim. Going to Fredericksburg, Virginia. We're going to be away for 2 days. I wouldn't lock my door. Whenever I drive, I never lock my door. My wife locks the door all the time. Absolutely kills me. Because she falls for the scaremongering that we live in a scary society, and someone is inches away from trying to break into our house. So, yes, it is awesome to know the truth, and I can't tell you how happy I am. The only thing that makes me unhappy is how many people show up for this.
Yeah.
I cannot believe, with the mountains of evidence that I show, with the blog that I have, with these audios, I mean, 300-plus hours of audios that I've done, mostly on this one, on Chris's, on Tim's, on Dave's, all of them. I cannot believe that people, there are 20 people here.
I know how it feels. I really do.
But life is entertainment to me now. Because when I heard that there was a tsunami in Japan, the first thing I did was I laughed. Because tsunamis are not tidal waves. If you look into tsunamis, they're very gradual. They do happen, and they do rise up, but it's a very gradual type of thing. It's almost soothing. I actually saw a tsunami in Hawaii live on a webcam. But it's a very gradual rising, maybe a couple feet at a time, maybe over 60 seconds or so. It is not this tidal wave that we're all told it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that you don't need a doctor to go through life. I haven't gone to a doctor in donkey's years. You can use very cheap home remedies to cure almost everything.
To everything. You even need almost every type of cancer and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want you to know about it. And anybody that does come out with natural herbs, remedies, stuff like that, they pretty much chase them out of the country. The FDA won't approve them. They'll throw them in jail, or they'll threaten to throw them in jail. They just won't let it happen. People don't have any idea. The whole I talk about that a lot on my show, like the FDA and Big Pharma and the cancer industry, and how it's all just a revolving door, and they're all in on it. And, you know, they really want you to get sick so you can be in their treatment centers and spend money. You go to get chemo, what are you doing? You're radiating the rest of your cells to kill one cell. Tell me where that makes sense.
No, it makes no sense. And I have a PDF that shows that chemo is only 2.5% effective. That means 97.5% of people over 5 years are going to die from the treatment itself.
Yep.
Ready for this? This will blow you away. Did you know there's not a single scientific double-blind placebo study that shows that there's any link between smoking cigarettes and lung cancer?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I think cigarette smoke is disgusting. It doesn't skeeve me out as much as my wife. I mean, she'll start doing the whole Pavlovian wave. Like, if there's any smoke, even when we're outside, she'll start waving because she's taught to do that. We're all taught to do that.
You think it's a cover for all the sicknesses you get from food and everything else, so that way they can just blame it on the cigarettes?
I don't know, but all I know is I've looked and looked. I've offered to PayPal anyone $50 to send me this report. I'll PayPal you $50 if you have a real report of a double-blind, scientific, not statistical, but scientific study showing that there's any correlation between that and cancer. Between smoking and lung cancer, and not a single person has taken me up on it. I've posted at Godlike Productions and different forums. Not a single person could produce it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the people that, you know, have died all these times supposedly over lung cancer, you think that's just made up? Or what, people that, you think people are told that, hey, you have lung cancer from smoking, but it's really from something else?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's really pneumonia.
Really?
That's what I've heard. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Actually, I'm surprised. I'm going to look at the chat. Brian, our pre-med guy, was supposed to come on. He was excited about talking for the first time. And I was going to ask him about that, too. But I'm telling you, I put the offer out there, $50. I'll PayPal it to you because I want that report. I want that to be true. I want it to be true because it's so full of crap. It only makes sense that it would be true. But, you know, I don't have an agenda. I don't look for one thing or the other. I just look for the truth, and I have not been able to find that.
Mm-hmm. Somebody in the chat was asking, I don't know if they were asking me, Dutch Cooper said, do you have an own shoe, Massachusetts? Is he asking me if I have a top shoe? Is that what he's doing?
I don't know, but why don't you post your website address again so people can see it? You sound like a great guy.
All right, cool. I will. Give me one second. Let me just bring up the link.
Yeah, Brian, if you want to call in, I'm going to wrap this up shortly. If you want to call in and show me, you know, not only talk about the things we talk about, but show me that double-blind scientific study that shows there's a link between smoking and lung cancer, I'd love to see that. Meanwhile, we're waiting for that to happen. It is 1:26, Christmas Eve day. Today is Saturday, December 24, 2011. I'm on the phone with Chris Kendall, who does a talk show like this every single Monday. Will there be one on this Monday after Christmas, Chris?
Yep, planning on it.
Awesome. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it because I will be in Virginia. Actually, I'm going to try to make it because I have this new, if anyone has the ability for apps, I got this amazing app for free called, where is it? It is called Whistle, and it does U.S. and Canadian phone calls absolutely free, no strings attached. And it works with TalkShoe. Whistle. So I will actually.
It's on the iPad?
It is on the iPod or iPad.
Hmm.
Which, and it works. It's very clear. We actually tested it from our room at the Westin on our answering machine, and it was great. So I will be at the Westin in Alexandria on Monday if anyone wants to stop by. Hint, hint, Tim. I'll even take you swimming at the Westin pool, which is pretty nice. And I'll see if I can call in at 9 o'clock.
That'd be cool. Yeah, you guys would be calling in from the Westin pool, poolside at the Westin?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'll give it a shot. And so is Brian going to call in? The other Brian, I should say. The one Brian we
that
have
med
on.
The med guy, right?
The pre-med. Well, pre-med Brian call in, yep. Meanwhile, while we're waiting for the one Brian to call in, Brian, did you have any other questions or anything else to add before we wrap this up, as the good Masons like to say?
No, I don't think so, man. I just want to thank you for having me on. It's really enlightening sometimes to talk to some other people that actually get it, that get the whole, you know, the whole deception of how everything's really going on. I don't really have too many people I can talk about it with. I have like one friend, and even some of the other people I woke up, they won't take that extra step and realize that, you know, maybe all these, you know, false flag things that we saw are really just media events, and maybe everything, you know, is really just another deception. It's nice to talk to some people that get it. That's all. I hope I can be on again sometime and call in with you guys.
Well, I only do these on special occasions because I just find that I'm repeating the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris does his every Monday night at 8 o'clock. I'll post a link to that chat again. Let me get that. Chris is more ambitious than me. I've lost my patience, quite frankly. And, you know, what else can you really say? I mean, just amazing. So there it is. There's the link to Chris's TalkShoe.
Right,
his
cool.
is at 8 o'clock East Coast time. I don't think I've missed a single one. So, yeah, I still enjoy talking about it, but to do one on my own, it's just like, okay, you know, we're repeating a lot of stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, it'd be one thing if, you know, every week we got – well, Chris, you're able to check your stats. Are you seeing a growth in the number of people listening to the broadcast on Monday night?
No. It's like – I think it averages – about when I look at the downloads, it averages about 100 downloads.
Yeah.
But it's been that consistently around since I started, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't noticed any kind of increase or gradual increase or over. And I just realized that I've been doing it for about a year now.
Yep.
About a year. But, yeah, I like to talk about, well, anything. And I don't know. It seems like every time somebody calls in, they're talking, they always bring something interesting that I didn't know before, you know. And, you know, talking about alternative medicine or free energy or, you know. And then, you know, of course, media fakery and how the perception management works. Because I think to get a real firm grasp on it and a real good understanding of how the propaganda works on our minds, I think it's a good thing. And to just kind of keep that. Just to keep that going and to keep it, you know, in the kind of a way to keep that kind of on the front burner, you know, so it's not like, oh, we kind of, oh, well, yeah, it's happening. But then, you know, because I could probably see maybe myself from time to time getting sucked in by the stuff that's out there and not realizing that, hey, this is probably another psyop or, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So,
sure.
I don't know. I enjoy it. I think it's good to, you know, talk about this stuff. And I was going to ask you a question, Mark.
Sure.
We were talking about this before. You talk about every 7 years, they say, like, your cells are being renewed continually. They die off, new ones come in.
Yep.
And then every 7 years, you're a complete, biologically, you're a completely different person,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty wild. So I was thinking about that, and I was wondering, like, if that's true, what they're saying there, why don't tattoos go away?
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
But
I got that, by the way. That wasn't for me. That was from Robert. I heard that from Robert, and it really kind of freaked me out, actually. But that also gets into the why don't memories. Although he said that they've done these studies, and someone was in a car accident 7 years ago, and they interviewed that person, and then 7 years later, they had a completely different story, and they were even more passionate that they were right about their seven-year memory than when they were first interviewed about the car accident. So I think that might be some BS. I agree. I think that's BS, because you're right. How come your tattoo's still there?
Yeah. Well, Tim's saying in the chat, it goes down another level of skin, but according to that information, all your cells,
right,
even under the skin and all that. And Tim's saying he's got tattoos, and none of them have even faded yet. So I guess he's had them for a while and they'll fade. Well, I don't know. I was just wondering about that because we're told this science stuff, and then which sounds like, you know, it could be true or not, but then, you know, it's not a big deal, but I was wondering about that, like, what's the deal with that?
No, that's an excellent question. I have a question for you, Chris. Thinking back for 2011, what was the most amazing discovery that really impacted you the most?
In 2011? Probably the one that, as far as the information we talk about, probably like where I really became aware of the absolute stage nature of a lot of what we see.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the year when it kind of really set in with me, where I was like, well, you know. Like the protests, you know, stuff you see over that's allegedly going on overseas, like in Egypt and the stuff that's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Just becoming aware of the fact that, like, yeah, these are staged, and all these protests are staged, and how that works, how that's kicked off, and how it, along the lines of what you're talking about with the sneakers. People rushing to get the sneakers, and how that's what's the name of that site you put out, the
on site
where you go and you
on-site productions, onsetproductions.com. yep.
Uh-huh.
I'll post that for those late into the chat. These are people you can actually, the news events that you see are most likely, like, for example, today's big time propaganda news that Michael Jordan's new sneakers got people to crush down doors to go get it. They're actually paid actors that did this. And here's one of the companies that offers those actors. It's called OnsetProductions.com.
Yeah, this kind of stuff where it's becoming aware that there's this whole industry. This is the whole industry that's set up. Probably Onset Productions is probably just one of, I'm telling how many, businesses like that, industries that are set up to do this very thing.
Yeah,
like,
isn't there one called like Radeon Helix or something like that?
Well, that's what Dallas Goldbug is. That's a film company that They're actors. But this is where literally you find a show that you want to go on, and sometimes they pay you to be an audience member in that show. Same thing with infomercials.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the Ron Popeil. Actually, I know I've said this before. I'm pretty friendly with Ron Popeil's sister, and boy, does she hate Ron Popeil. Oh, my God. So all those audience members are paid to be there.
Yeah.
They're all actors, actually. Those are actors. That's why they look so, oh, my God, that's amazing, Ron.
Yeah.
But people buy it.
Yeah. What did they sell, the pocket fishing pole?
Oh, no, the like the Ronco knives and Ronco this, Ronco that.
Yeah, and it's all just like useless junk for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some stuff in there that might come in handy, but most part it's just like useless stuff. It's just all the way it's presented. Just all those really powerful manipulation tools like perception, consensus.
Yep. Don't fight that
social,
name. Yep.
Social confirmation and
right.
And that how that's so heavily used. It's really heavily used to sell stuff, anything, ideas, politicians. All this stuff. And they probably use these actors like, you know, let's say they have a televised, this recent thing I ran across with these two Navy broads, women, like they got off this ship and they had.
Oh, the lesbians, yeah.
Yeah, the first lesbian kiss on
That's total propaganda. That's once again the whole transhumanism movement and transgender.
Uh huh. And then, you know, probably a lot of the people that showed up for that, you know, just your regular civilians and stuff that were these on-set production actors that show up for this for the photo op. Just anything like that is the people standing around are just paid to be there. Because
mm-hmm.
who's really so passionate about that? The gay or I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are, but like a big throngs of crowds of people showing up for stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and sneakers and everything else. So.
By the way, before I forget, here's another link. If you want to see a live listing of Craigslist in Los Angeles looking for casting, they're called casting calls. Take a look at this. This is all where you can get paid for acting in what people think are real case scenarios.
Wow, all these different listings are for that.
As I've said, what was going to be the title of my book, We've Been Had.
Yeah. I guess you would call this the shill industry.
Yep.
It's big. It's big.
Wow.
A lot bigger than I was aware of. Yeah.
And remember, you can click on Next 100 Postings, and they delete the postings like after 2 weeks. Girls only, we shoot XXX films, we make porn adult film, we pay big. And they got pictures. Mm. Yep. That's the world we live in. Our reality is the Truman Show.
So you're gonna finish up your Christmas shopping, Mark?
I am. Oh, I'm done. I just finished.
Oh, yeah, me too, just now. I got to take my I'm pissed off about these Air Jordans. I think I'm going to take them back.
Oh, you got buyer's remorse from paying the $250 bucks?
Yeah. I just saw the crowd, and I couldn't help myself. But I got to take – no. I didn't buy any Air Jordans. But, I mean – which is just crazy. $200 sneakers for one thing is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
they're ugly too, so don't forget that part about it.
Oh yeah, they're ugly as hell.
$200 for ugly sneakers. Not that I would pay $200 for nice looking sneakers, but I mean, they're not even, oh, they're disgusting looking.
Yeah.
Dutch Cooper Mike, by the way, who's a schfuggy. He is. He admits he's a black guy. But the Jews call him a schfuggy. He posted one that audience members wanted paid Sunday shoot in West Hollywood. We are taping a humorous lecture speech and need a dozen audience members. Get paid to enjoy the show and laugh. We'll be running through it a few times. There's the key word. That means it's scripted. We'll be running through it a few times, so you'll have to laugh and applaud fresh each time. So you even have to fake your laughter. Shoot will last no more than 3 hours and get paid $30 to each at the end in cash. So even the comedy club stuff you see on TV is fucking fake. Isn't that unbelievable?
Well, I mean, some of it must be real, but not much.
I was in the comedy business, my friend. I owned a non-alcoholic nightclub that lasted 3 months. Gee, I wonder why. I was actually ahead of my time. Called Spinners in Havertown, Pennsylvania. And I hired Barney Weiss, who was the top comedy booker. And we couldn't get anyone to come to the shows. And he always played this like, wow, I don't know what's happening. This has never happened before. Well, now I know why, because we didn't pay people to show up. It was like pulling teeth to get people to show up.
Wow.
We hired Big Daddy Graham. He was and is big time in Philadelphia. And I remember that was like $300 and plus a percentage of the door. And he called me up, I shit you not, hours before he was supposed to show up. He's like, I can't make it. I'm like, why not? He goes, I heard you're a dead club. I knew exactly what that meant because no one shows up. I'm like, but wait, we promoted the hell out of you. And even with all the promotion we did, I don't think we had 20 people show up.
That's crazy.
So you have to have social validation from the get-go just to get your business or whatever it is you got going started. So you got to have...
That's what I told him. I said, because I heard you're a dead club. I said, well, that's why we hired you. You're the one who's supposed to get people to show up. And he's like, no, I can't do it. And then I had to play the game with Barney Weiss, and Barney had to beg and plead for him to do him a favor and show up. I think it was all an act.
If you would have been a Mason,
right,
you probably would have been up on the scam. Where he's like, oh, yeah, you're going to start a club? Okay, I'll tell you what you do. Here's Onset Productions. You got to give them a call. You're going to do this for however many weeks or whatever. And then.
Well, that's crazy. You really think they all call these production companies and fill their clubs with actors? I believe you. I've never heard this before.
Oh, I'm in the marketing business. I know Annie Ann's Pretzels, whenever they open a new store in the mall or whatever, they hire talent agencies and modeling agencies and they pay them, it's not a lot of pay, to stand in line and buy their product. And of course, through social proof, people see a bunch of hot looking people standing in line, they're like, wow, this must be hip and cool. That's what they do. And by the way, yes, Chris, I remember I had a non-alcoholic nightclub because I didn't like drinking. And I'm like, there's got to be lots of people like me out there. I talked to lots of people, they shared the same thing. They wanted to have a nightclub without the alcohol. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm this brilliant marketer. I'm like, who's going to want this like more than anyone? I'm thinking, well, people who are members of AAA, Alcoholics Anonymous, whatever it's called, right? So I went to every AAA site or location, told them about the club, gave them free passes. Not a single person showed up.
Wow.
We went out of business in 3 months, lost $50,000 of my parents' money, and my family situation hasn't been the same since. Which is probably not a bad thing now that I think about it, but...
But it was doomed from the start.
I'm not in the club. I'm sure if I was in the club, that place would have been smoking.
Yeah, you would have had the... you would have understood that, you know, you got to get the clientele first, then the club.
Right, exactly.
Which, I mean, knowing what we know now, it makes total sense. It makes absolute sense.
And by the way, if people think that I'm making this stuff up, it's right. Look at Craigslist. Look at the post we just posted. It's right here for you to see.
Yeah. Casting calls. Come in and help us out on this or that or the other thing. And be on standby to show up and get paid. That'd be great. I mean, it's a great gig. You get paid to show up somewhere and stand around.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a club or go to a celebrity appearance or something like that and stand around with a piece of paper and a pen and wave it in the air. If you want an autograph, that's easy money, man. Can't beat that. Even if they just pay you $20 or something, a lot of people, $20, man, hey, it's great. That's a pizza or something that I didn't have before, you know. Just show up and do this for like, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and then you're done, you get paid, you're on your way.
Here's probably while you're talking, Chris, here's another one. Talk show for tomorrow, cash pay. So this is about being an actor on a talk show. $8 an hour, approximately 2 to 6 hours per call time. So I'm going to guess that this is you're going to pretend to call into a talk show and talk about something. See, even that's bullshit. Letters to the editor, complete bullshit. Those are public relation companies pretending to be real people discussing real issues. That's a lie, too.
Pay cash at the end of each taping. Upscale visual work. High energy requested. That's all you got to do is be high energy and be there in a suit, like you're a respectable person. And
for stinking $8 an hour.
For $8 an hour.
And here's, I'll post one more that's not related to this. Tom Cruise, India. Actors. Okay, Tom Cruise paid actors to pretend to be fans. We talked about this, right?
Yeah, I was reading that about that, and I was talking about how those people in India, they were paid like $3 to show up and a free buffet.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Get some eats and a little bit of walking around money and just stand there and scream for a few minutes and you're done.
And they didn't even know, it says here, in fact, the 200 and odd people gathered there didn't even know who he was and didn't care. They had been hired at a rate of R's 150 or $3 per person, approximately, by a model. By a model coordinator. See, it's the modeling agencies that are the gateway of all this kind of stuff. And then they quote Tom Cohn. I don't know who he is or what he does. We were told to come here by 1 o'clock today and wait for a foreign VIP to come out of the airport gate and scream and shout when he came. None of us know who Tom is. There was a buffet lunch also for us, and we were paid R's 150 for this job today. We do this for We do this for television shows and other such events where crowds are required, said one of the junior artistes at the airport who was hired as an excited Tom fan.
Yeah, the ones where they're put the camera on the crowds is, oh yeah, I love Tom Cohn. Tom Cohn needs to be great. They'll leave those out. Break it before they get the name wrong. That's too crazy, man.
Yep.
How you know this is just par for the course, though, how that stuff works. You know, every when you see them walking down the red carpet and stuff, and there's like all those massive amounts of people standing around.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people are probably real that are kind of looky-loos that kind of wander up there, and they say, whoa, what the hell is going on? And they kind of stand around and look. But to kick it off and to get it going, you know, there's like all them paid people that show up first.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would mean too, and this is a comforting thought, that there isn't just throngs of people that show up for them. What are those awards? Bull crap and all that music award things where people standing around outside and the celebrities are coming on the red carpet. That's a comforting thought that figure that's all staged.
I can confirm that. As I said earlier, we had Restaurant Impossible filming here in Quarryville, literally minutes away from where I live. How many people do you think were gawking at this being filmed? And it was in all the local newspapers that it was going to happen on that Friday, Thursday and Friday. When I got there, guess how many, besides me and my son, people were watching and gawking this Robert Irvine taping the show?
Nobody.
Zero.
Zero. Nobody was.
Not a single one. In fact, my son was all excited. He's like, that's his car. We're parked next to his car. He's all excited. I'm like, Tyler, chill out. I'm more famous than this guy is. And I poop the same way he does. Not a single person.
I wonder why they didn't hire. I guess they didn't need a crowd or whatever.
No, they don't. What they do is they do. It's a pretty cool show. I'm hearing my voice. What's up with that? Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty cool TV show. Actually, they take a struggling, it's always Masons, they take a struggling restaurant and they make it over in 48 hours. I don't know how they do it. They actually did it in 48 hours because I was there and I saw it with my own eyes. They did it and it was amazing. And they have $10,000 budget and they do it. So they don't really need extras there. But just amazing. The question for you, I'll ask you the same thing I asked Chris, is what one thing just knocked your socks off in 2011 that just said, oh, my God, I can't believe blah?
Let me think about it for a second.
While you're thinking, I'll give you mine. And this is going to sound so minor, you're going to be scratching your head saying, really? But that latest revelation that the sun is furthest away from Earth on July 4th just toasted my ass on that. That was just – and I can't explain why that really did anything for me, but for some reason that just really just – I'm like, oh, my God.
Why? Tell us why.
No.
Well, we're told that July 4th is Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But July 4th is really, and by the way, I looked into this for any other country and no one else celebrates it except America. July 4th is the precise day that the sun is furthest away from Earth each year.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me tells me that even Independence Day is a lie.
Yeah, and the fact too that what thing blew me away about that is I never heard that ever before.
Yeah, but when you look it up on Wikipedia, it's there.
Oh, I know what you're saying. So they turned what was a day that was celebrated for something else a long time ago, and they said this is a day about your freedoms which most of them probably didn't even have in the first place.
Right, exactly.
I got you.
Now, out of all the things, the tsunami being fake, the volcanoes being fake, underwear bombers being fake, all the things that have been fake, for some reason, that just hit me the hardest this year. I don't know why. It's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, honestly, I'd have to say just because it was this year. It was like 3 months ago when I found out that it wasn't explosives and 3,000 people. Well, I mean, eventually they used explosives to bring the buildings down, probably. But I mean, it wasn't the story we thought with the 3,000 people in the World Trade Center and all that. When I found out that the whole truth movement was lying to me about that, that you know what it did. I was kind of getting really frustrated, and I was kind of getting to the point where I needed to take a break for a little while, and that kind of breathed new life into the whole thing. When I found that out, it was like, oh, man, I had to go and look into all these people. You know, I had to, you know, all the videos that I thought were, like, mainstream people just trying to make them look bad before, I needed to go and watch all this stuff and see what was going on with all this. And I think the Libya thing was kind of big for me because, I don't know, man, I was kind of – it kind of really – upset me how nobody even blinked an eye that we were rolling through this country. And it was all, you know, over nothing. I mean, the guy did a lot more than anybody over here even knows, you know?
Oh, you're talking about when Gaddafi was supposedly killed?
Yeah.
Do you think he really died?
No, I don't think he really died. At least not the way that they presented, that's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
I mean, I know those videos are fake. And when I saw those, I said, you know, I think this is fake, but whether this is real or fake, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's the same agenda is going to get pushed through, just like with everything else. It's just what they're showing everybody.
Right.
You know, everybody here has this whole premonition that he's this big, bad terrorist. Well, you got to remember where that's coming from. You know, yeah, we've believed that for 20, 30 years of my life, but that's still coming from the same propaganda people that gave us all these other lies. So, and then I find out a lot of things about him, like, you know, just different things that he did for his people, like, you know, giving people like 50 grand for a house when they got married, or they had like a, I guess they had a program where when you got out of graduate school, you actually got paid what your profession's average is until you found a job, and just all types of stuff like that that they'll never mention. And the main thing, you know, about the economy, how he wanted to start a gold-backed economy for Libya and then for the whole continent. And, you know, obviously the United States isn't going to have that, especially where I feel that Africa is going to be like the new Middle East soon, and we're going to be over there tapping it for all its resources. So we're not going to let this guy go and set up his own economy that's going to stand in our way by any means. And he wanted to protect everybody from what's going on with the U.S. dollar and stuff. That's what it's really about. I mean, yeah, if people say it's about oil, they're not wrong. But I think in most of these cases, it's about economy. If you look at the list of countries that, you know, don't have a central controlling bank controlling their finances and they're financially independent, it's the same list that CNN and Fox flashes in front of us and tells us are the most five dangerous terror states in the world. Just a few years ago, like, it was Iraq and Afghanistan were on that list, and Iran's on there, and North Korea. And what does that sound like? Oh, that sounds like the people they tell us are the biggest terrorists. It's not about terrorism. It's about money, you know?
I actually cordially disagree with that.
Really?
I'll tell you why. Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like I'm on this rant like on a monthly basis, and that's about competition. The idea that we have competitors and competition in life is a whopper of a lie. This idea that Saddam Hussein hated us because, for whatever reason, is a lie. I can prove it. Guantanamo Bay, do you know where that's located?
Well, it's supposed to be in Cuba, right?
Right. We've been since birth, I'm 44 years old. Since I've been born, I've been told that Cuba is a sworn enemy of the United States, right?
Yep.
Yet we have a military base on their island, really?
Yeah.
Huh? We're told that China, same thing. They're awful, blah, blah, blah. Yet all of our manufacturing is done in China.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't bring up, and I'll bring this up maybe on Chris's, actually in two calls from Chris, because I'll be without my computer, is there's one manufacturer of all computer laptops and smartphones and tablets that make almost every single one of them, just one company. It's called Foxconn. I'll post it into the chat. Right there. So this idea that Apple is a competitor to the Kindle, who's a competitor to the Nook, but they're all made by the same one company.
Mm-hmm.
This one absolutely blew me away when I found out. I had a buddy of mine, marketing buddy, who confirmed this. He told me that the Ford Windstar is made in a Nissan plant. And then I had a conversation with the general manager of one of the largest Cadillac dealerships in Pennsylvania. And when I told him that, he goes, oh, those things happen all the time, these joint ventures. I'm like, oh, do tell. He goes, do you know what the Geo Prism is? And I'm like, no, tell me. He's like, it's the Toyota Corolla. And sure enough, when you look up Toyota Corolla Geo Prism, the manual, you know, you can buy those third-party manuals that help you fix it yourself. Sure enough, right on the cover it says Toyota Corolla / Geo Prism. So this idea, oh, even better, Eric Schmidt was the CEO of Google and was on the board of directors of Apple Computer, a direct competitor. So this idea, this idea that we're tribal and that we're competing against each other, you know, when I went back to my old high school, I'll never forget the rivalry we had with Lower Merion High School. I went to Radnor High School. We had Lower Merion High School. We hated each other for a week. It was all about hating Lower Merion, big football game, blah, blah, blah. They're just 5 minutes. The only difference between them and us is they're 5 minutes down the road. We all had nice houses. We lived in one of the richest neighborhoods on the planet. Everything about us was the same. So this idea that we're competitive and tribal is part of the PSYOP. So Ahmadinejad, whatever his name is, the leader of Iran?
Yeah, Ahmadinejad, yeah.
Yeah, he's the same guy who did the 1979 Iranian hostage crisis.
Really? I wanted to add one thing, though, before, you know how you said you disagree with Olivia. I do want to say one thing, because I kind of think where you're going a little bit. I do think all this tension where they say if we do this, China's going to do that, and Russia's going to do this. I've been telling everybody that I think that's all just totally made up. And I think, you know, the people who have us controlling us is the same people that are controlling China and Russia, and they're not going to attack each other. It wouldn't be in anybody's best interest. It's in our best interest to kind of build each other up as these big, huge superpowers and, you know, screw the third world, and then everybody else will be intimidated of us.
Every leader is all in the same club. They're either Freemasons, OTO Freemasons, or Jesuits, or SMOM, Sovereign Military Order of Malta. They're all in the club. Look into Gorbachev. Look to see where Gorbachev is these days. He's in the United States pushing NGOs and stuff like that. I can go on and on and on. So this idea that we're competitive and it's all about central banks and all that, that's Alex Jones' claptrap as far as I'm concerned.
I like the one where Saddam Hussein. He's the largest individual shareholder of General Motors stock.
Daimler Chrysler. Yep.
Daimler.
Right. So Saddam Hussein. And by the way, there's not been one single video of him being hung.
Yeah.
I've never seen a single one. He's the largest shareholder of Daimler Chrysler. Really? You think he's dead? Come on.
And
wow.
same with Gaddafi. He, from what I understand too, he's very wealthy and has a lot of corporate stock and stuff. You know, same thing.
Wow, man!
It never ends, as we like to say. I have one last question, then we're going to wrap this up for Chris and for Brian. Okay, so we talked about the biggest PSYOP that really hit you hard for 2011. I'll ask the same question for any time that you've been looking into this. What has been the biggest thing, like, wow, that's just amazing for you?
You asking me or Chris first?
Either one.
The biggest what, out of the whole time that we've been supposedly awake? What do you mean, of the year? What do you mean?
Yeah, since you've been awake. Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing, okay.
If you need help, I'd be happy to give you mine.
Well, you know, usually I would say, you know, a lot of stuff about September 11th, but I think the moon landing and how that's all staged is pretty high up on my list, too. That really shocked me. I had no idea. I had never looked at it. I mean, it doesn't really take that much to see that it's fake. Once you start looking, you know what you're looking for. But that one kind of really, I just, you know, the whole space program is probably just a big money pit. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, trillions of dollars to go put wherever they want. And that whole thing kind of threw me back a lot to know that the Apollo missions were faked.
Wow, that's interesting, because what if I told you that the space shuttles are fake too and I can prove it?
Oh, you wouldn't, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all, because I wouldn't doubt it at all. Not at all, because I know that the way the space shuttles were built, they obviously couldn't go through all the radiation and everything else that they say is up there. So it wouldn't make any sense. So I wouldn't doubt if they were fake. What do you got?
If you type into YouTube, space shuttle from airplane window, and look at all of the videos. I have no doubt that something takes off from the Johnson Space Center. I think that's what that's called. No doubt about it. If you look in, it's almost to the second. 2 minutes and 10 seconds in for every one, the space shuttle goes up, and then it does a 90-degree turn and goes parallel to the ground. And then 2 minutes and 10 seconds in, you don't see a thing.
Do you think it just goes up and comes right back down in the ocean?
Some people suggest that they land in Easter Island, which is one of the most remote islands on the planet, which is near South America, if I believe.
Dude, I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Now, if you go to Simon Shack's forum, and Simon Shack is he's like Alan Watt for fakery. He's like the Alan Watt of fakery. He's controlled opposition. He has some very excellent points that make absolutely no sense about the space shuttle. The one being, if you look at the external fuel tank and how it's bolted, there's basically two bolts that bolt the external fuel tank to the shuttle itself. That's it.
Just two bolts.
That's it. two bolts. And if you think about, like when I go down the road, I have a brand new car, right? Brand new Toyota RAV4. I go 90 miles an hour, the car is shaking, right? Now, the space shuttle, guess how fast the space shuttle is going, by the way? Well, it starts off going 11,000 miles an hour. And anyone want to guess where it ends up going but at its fastest? Anyone familiar with the Freemasonic numbers? 33,000 miles an hour. Thank you. Now, 33,000 miles an hour, they show, you'll see it lately, they've been showing a, quote, live video of the external fuel tank and the two bolts and the space shuttle itself. Don't you think at 33,000 miles an hour,
I got switched off the line by accident. I'm here.
Oh, you missed out what I had to say?
Yeah, for about 30 seconds. Yeah, I didn't know. I hit a button on my phone, and I dropped out of the call for about 30 seconds.
Oh, no problem. I actually switched topics, and I talked about how I made $1.8 million last night. You missed it.
Oh, nice.
No, I'm just kidding. So the space shuttle, we're told the space shuttle starts off at 11,000 miles an hour, which is a high Freemasonic number, 11 and 33, and at its fastest goes 33,000 miles an hour. If my car is going 90 miles an hour, just 90 miles an hour on the road, and if you were to mount a camera underneath it and look at the exhaust, you would see it vibrating. Yet this thing's going 33,000 miles an hour, and it's like it's in the most luxurious stream of air ever. There's absolutely no shaking whatsoever.
Yeah, like rock steady, so completely steady.
Right. And then if you look at the shuttle, it's actually aerodynamically designed. If you take your hand and hold it out flat and you look at it and you kind of bend your hand a little bit, it's kind of like a swoosh type of thing. That's how the shuttle is allegedly designed. It's kind of like not flat, but it's got a little curve to it. So you're telling me that it's going 33,000 miles an hour and it's a little bit curved out. It's the same thing when you put your arm out the window and you go 55 miles an hour. You bend the tips of your fingers up a little bit, your hand flies up in the air. That's how lift works. Yet this thing is going 33,000 miles an hour and it's held on by two bolts. Really?
Yeah, that's BS.
And if you look at every single space shuttle launch, it's exactly the same, including the trees, where the trees are located, the smoke pattern. It's almost as if they play it over and over and over again. It's amazing. Simon Shack did a really good job with that.
Now, I'm not doubting you, and I believe just about everybody out there is controlled opposition. If he is, though, don't you feel he went a little too far in putting stuff out there? Like myself, I would have never even noticed the real truth of 9/11, would have never, you know, realized the whole truth movement was lying probably if I never saw September clues. Do you think maybe they put a little too much in there?
Not at all. In fact, what they're doing is working brilliantly because, as I said an hour ago, how many people are talking about this on this call right now?
Yeah, there's only 20 people.
That to me, I would call that mission accomplished.
But how are they accomplishing it? I just don't understand the strategy on this one. Like, by doing what? Like,
well, if you look at first of all, if you ask Simon Schacht, we've invited Simon Schacht to come on this call. He won't come on the call.
Okay.
If you look at what his conclusion is, he tells you that missiles were probably used on 9/11. That's just nonsense. You don't need missiles when everything. See, Simon Schacht points out the fakery, but he gives you the impression that they faked it on 9/11. Why couldn't this have been faked 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So he doesn't give you any conclusions. Simon Schacht's father worked for the United Nations for 35 years. Did you know that?
Somebody did mention that to me not that long ago, but I didn't hear that, but that's all I pretty much heard.
Simon Schacht says he lived in Norway. We actually emailed him, and he confirmed that he lived a stone's throw away from the Vatican.
Really?
Uh-huh. Simon Schacht is sponsored by the Bin Laden family, his brother is, for race car driving. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
And Simon Schacht himself was the sponsor hunter, allegedly, the guy who gets sponsors
right.
for his brother.
The agent.
Which he denied later, but there's a article that where he's like saying, that's what I did for a living.
Right. Yeah, no, if I knew any of that, I wouldn't have had any doubt. I just thought that movie really didn't, as far as I know, it didn't have too much disinformation in it at all. That's why I was saying that. It seemed like it was pretty much the only one that went down the right road.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might want to look into The Octopus, too. I understand that one is pretty damning. Same sort
okay.
of thing.
Okay, cool.
I know Dutch Mike Cooper has a link to that probably because he reminded me of that link too. Here's the bottom line for me. Anyone who's well known cannot be real. It is impossible. Again, getting back to Alex Jones, we're told that Alex Jones has one of the largest alternative radio shows on the planet, and that radio signal is broadcast over satellite. That satellite is owned by Cap Cities, which is a Disney company.
Yep.
So he wants us to think that he's screaming against the, quote, New World Order. Disney is the New World Order.
Yep.
Yet they let him say what he's saying over their airwaves.
Yeah, exactly. Everything about him is a scam, even his products, dude. He tries to build you the fear up, and then he tries to sell you things like water filters or whatever. And you go and look at the same thing at Lowe's, the construction store there, Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever, and it's like a third of the price.
Sure.
Everything. I've checked a few things. Everything's ridiculously overpriced.
Right.
And he does infomercials even when he's not supposed to be doing a commercial. Like during regular broadcast time, not during the designated 3 or 4 minute breaks, he's selling products.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't see that. And they don't see that everything he talks about relates to building up the hype for those products.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Chris, so did you come up with your most damning, unbelievable psyop of all time?
With that said about Simon Schacht, I'd say September, watching September Clues for the first time was like, probably had the most kind of direct impact. And it was, even though it's kind of misleading, the video is kind of misleading as far as the fakery, because really all you need to do is like really think about the plane going through the building. And, you know, there was like a distraction, kind of diversion with the blackout after that you see the nose through. But then there's other footage, too, that shows the fuselage coming out intact and all that, which is impossible. But I think I was like ready for it, too. I was like, man, that's. And then seeing the, when you play back to back the phone interviews and with the people that are directly connected to the media, one after the other.
Yep.
It's just like, wow, wow. I mean, just wow, man. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree. If I had a top three, my number one would have been the how everyone in the media was an eyewitness. That was it for me. That was probably the top. The second one, I can't believe you guys didn't talk about. I'll give you a hint. Jayco.
Jayco?
Yeah. CNN Jayco.
The CNN fake newscast?
Yeah.
A great one. I have that on my YouTube channel, the one where they got the helmets on and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one, man. I was just watching that the other day. I swear to God, I have that as one of my favorites. I put that at the top of my media fakery list. It's great. I love that one. It's like 11 minutes of fan mongering, and it's so funny because.
But here's the thing. The reason why that's like close to number one for me is because I remember that one, and I remember being scared shitless after watching that.
Yeah, see, I was too young. I didn't remember it that well at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then, you look closely at the backdrop, and it's like this fake palm in the fake potted palm in the background with
fake palm tree. They do that a lot. You know that they did a Fox did another video. They were trying to hype up the Wisconsin protests. I mean, I'm talking about Fox. That was CNN. But Fox did a video. They were trying to hype up those protests in Wisconsin not that long ago. And they showed some people arguing outside. It was supposed to be everybody's rowdy, you know. And they you can look down the street and there's freaking palm trees. It's supposed to be Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, that CNN video is great. What's your third one? That was only two.
My third one is the Japanese earthquake / tsunami realization that would, because that one, what was interesting about that is it's the first time that they've used clear video to show a faked event. If you look at 9/11 to Israeli-Palestinian conflict to Iran, what's happening in Iran, everything's rubble and not clear and blurry. Yeah. But that one was the first time that they introduced this new resolution that, you know, at first glance, I mean, I know that whatever they tell us is a lie, but that was very convincing stuff.
Yep.
By the way, something I forgot to tell you is there wasn't a single earthquake crack, both in the Haiti. If you looked at Google Earth, Google put in fresh pictures of Haiti after the supposed earthquake there. There wasn't a single earthquake crack. I looked. I went over like every square mile looking for cracks in the road, not a single one. And then, lo and behold, someone then emailed me and said, well, there's an earthquake crack at the airport. I looked at the earthquake crack, ran it through my software, and found that was Photoshopped. So there's still not a single real earthquake crack in this devastation in Haiti, and there wasn't a single real earthquake crack in Japan. Not a single one. A 9-point-something without a single earthquake crack.
Wow. Post that CNN video right now for anybody in the chat that wants to see it.
Oh, the Charles Jayco?
Yeah, I just posted it for you.
Yeah. Just amazing. Oh. Anyhow, we've been at this for 3 hours and 20 minutes, which is small time compared to what Chris does. So if you want to continue this conversation, I encourage you to revisit us this Monday night, 8 o'clock East Coast time on Chris's TalkCast broadcast recorded audio, diary, whatever phrase you'd like to use. Let me go pull that link up one more time. There we go. I'll post that into the chat. So I appreciate you being on the call, Chris. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Enjoyed it.
And, Brian, I appreciate you calling in, and it's great to know that, I mean, you sound like the real deal, and I hope that continues, and I hope you continue to give us a call, especially on the Monday nights that we do it. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Do you usually post somewhere when you're going to have an upcoming show so people know, like on your website? Or?
I encourage the people who do these shows, Chris, Tim, Mike, Robert, and me, to do to schedule them at least a week ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
Not everyone except for Chris is doing that. So What you can do is you can just go check in. Again, if you go to truthin7minutes.com on the right-hand side, I have all the links to each one of the broadcasts. Like I said, Chris does one every Monday almost without fail. Robert, it probably comes in second with the frequency. He does at least one a week, usually Wednesday, Thursdays. Sometimes they're a recording of him talking in his car. Sometimes it's live. And then after that, it's kind of willy-nilly type of thing. So I would suggest listening to Chris, and then we'll kind of announce on Chris when the next one might be coming up.
Okay, cool.
Oh, and we can't forget Aaron Berg. As Dutch Cooper just said, Aaron Berg is a tough guy to figure out. Apparently he doesn't like us, but he talks about the same sort of thing. So if you look up Aaron Berg on Talk Show, you'll hear similar type of stuff.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. So from an absolutely gorgeous day, as I'm looking out my window here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, I think the highs are going to be in the 50s. It's very warm. In fact, for you hockey fans, are having the Winter Classic here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Next week, it's supposed to be 50 degrees, so I wonder if that's even going to work out. Anyway, I appreciate you all listening. Have a great one. Enjoy life, and I'll talk to you guys this Monday on Chris's broadcast. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.